What's poppin'? The Drew and Mike show's poppin' in the DealsNadie.com studios.
And now!
With Louie Anderson.
Yeah.
In about 25, 30 minutes.
Listen to him. He's got words to say.
Louie will be on Facebook Live. Elric on Facebook Live tomorrow. Because this is the big Clark Park weekend. And I feel like we haven't properly promoted it.
No.
Piece of garbage.
Yeah.
The outdoor classic charity hockey game. And I don't know what the matchup is, but we'll find out tomorrow on Facebook Live. But the game is Saturday at 4 p.m. Actually, noon to 4 p.m. I'm sorry. Don't get there at 4. Noon to 4 p.m. Wait. What? We'd love to see you at this year's. I should read this first. The free carnival. The free winter carnival is noon to 4.
Oh.
Then you might want to hang out for the Clark Park Outdoor Classic Charity Games. Ooh, classics. There's two games, one at 6 and one at 8.
Yeah, women at 8 minute, or women at 6, men at 8.
Why do the women go first? Because they're less important?
Because they got to go home and clean up the kitchen.
Oh, okay. Duh.
And they'll be cold.
They got to cook dinner.
later in the day, it is the colder.
You're right. You're right.
Women cannot tolerate being cold.
Anything for dinner or whatnot, cleaning, right. Then they have to stop the store. Right. Stores close later. And
what do you expect those men to eat after they play a real game?
Right.
So there you go. Also, I wanted to mention that we are still heard on 106.7 WLLZ Saturday morning.
Check your misogyny.
6 to 8, and then Sunday morning from 6 to 9. And I saw I retweeted somebody with a very negative tweet about the program that replaced us at 8 a.m. on Saturday.
69.
I hope I don't get in trouble.
Oh, well, trying to act How's totally that? Innocent.
Yeah, there was a little Facebook string on it, too.
Uh-huh. Oh, really?
Yeah.
Are people loving it?
No, they were not loving the new show. No, they miss us.
What?
But it wasn't the loudest group I've ever heard. It could have been louder if you asked me. But anyway, that's all wrong, of course.
Yeah, I heard all about it on the radio.
Yeah, for sure.
The big news today, Mel Tucker is the new Michigan State football coach.
Yeah, cool.
From Colorado, where he has a sterling 5-7 career record.
What were they the year before? Does anybody know?
I suppose he's doing a great job. They have they were the number 35 recruiting class coming in.
Sure.
Is that 35 that good?
It's higher than State's.
Okay.
But this is crazy. He just tweeted on Saturday, while I'm flattered to be considered for the head coaching job at Michigan State, I'm committed to Colorado for the build of our program. It's great athletes, coaches, and supporters. Hashtag unfinished business. Hashtag go Buffs. We are hashtag relentless. Hashtag culture. Hashtag the build.
Wow, he's got, not quite the hashtagger.
He could have just settled on one hashtag, because now it looks really stupid.
He's in Colorado, though.
He said he wasn't going to take the job.
I know.
Because he loves Colorado so much.
You know, I was
Something
listening.
Bad must have happened on Sunday and Monday.
Not to plug all the shows on the network besides No BS News with Charlie LaDuff. On No Filter Sports, I was listening, and Eli was talking about how Mel Tucker and a couple others had said, no, I don't want the job. And Narduzzi.
Fake. Yeah.
And Eli and Bob Page were pointing out that, you know, a lot of times when coaches feel they're not going to get the job, they say that to act as if it was up to them.
That's exactly what happened here.
Yeah. And Drew Pearson, the Cowboys receiver.
Yeah.
Did you see his tweet?
No.
Mel Tucker is a con man. He lied to my face. I guess his son plays football.
Okay.
And so Mel Tucker was assuring him that I'm in, I'm going to be there a long time. And
oh, wow.
So
I wish you weren't a liar.
So he's a big liar and con man.
Yeah.
So it's kind of a wacky day.
Yeah.
You know,
L-Y-I-N apostrophe.
They really have a mess to clean up at Michigan State. I think getting a new coach, I think this actually is going to work out for the better.
Yeah.
And I think it's also good. I don't usually think about diversity that much, but why aren't there more black college football coaches? We talked about it before the show. I have no idea. I can't figure it out. It seems like that would be one area that is indisputable.
Yeah, but we did our research, and didn't it fairly match up to the representation of the populace? but not so much the representation of the players that play the game.
That's my point.
Which is about 56% in college.
And most coaches are former players. So
yeah, but a lot of the coaches start right after their college career ends, or grad assistants, where, you know.
Because they're half-assed college players who are white.
Yeah, and black players are good, so they go to the NFL.
I think you might be onto something there.
Thank you.
But I just find it hard to believe that black players wouldn't respond well to a black coach sometimes.
Well, there's
I'm just saying sometimes, notice.
There's a lot of assistants.
23%.
Yeah.
Sports must be different because I'm not necessarily mentored by the person who's, you know, got my same story going on.
So are you saying you're in favor of all white coaches in Division I?
Yeah, go ahead. Stay in the thread.
It sounded so evolved of you, Trudy.
I didn't know
you had all these black mentors.
Boom! Oh, hot take!
I don't necessarily have a mentor that I pick because they're a woman, I mean. Or,
let's run it again! Run it again! Let's go!
You know, a chicken business or something like that.
That's your coach, Trudy.
Let's run it again! Run it again! Let's go!
You can relate to her.
I can.
You have reached out to Katie Sowers?
No, but maybe I should.
Yeah, I think so.
See what she has to
say.
Might
be a
mentor. Let's run it again. Run it again. Let's go.
You got to keep running it until it gets perfect, Trudy.
By the way,
absolutely have no interest in me. I have no skills for running it again.
Well, yeah, you do. You got skills.
I want to say this, too. I hate the word
mentor. I have no skills.
I hate the word mentor. He's my mentor. I don't know.
It's one of those. You know, somebody wrote us an email about that and the way people discuss, you know, like the new workplace buzzwords.
Oh, like my corporate cringe video?
Yes, yes. And one of those things is a couple of years ago, somebody suggested that I get a mentor within the building so that I can sit down and talk to them.
No, thanks.
Please.
You are not the boss of me.
You know what?
And she was great, and I still like her to this day, but it was
the person who made the suggestion?
No, the mentor.
Oh, you were signed a mentor?
I was assigned a mentor.
What?
Asked if she would accept me as a mentee.
Why don't I know this story? Wait, you can't tell someone that you're my mentee. It should be something that happens naturally, shouldn't it?
Well, it didn't quite happen that way. It was just sort of worked out, you know, like outside of the room.
Sounds like
Were you a mentor, Trudy? Yeah, okay.
I'd like to have this conversation off the air. I think it'd be a little different.
Here's the deal. I'm going to set you up with an office, an apartment, a credit card, all that shit. I can start you at $120,000.
That's a good mentor.
Yeah. You know, we'll be Facebook Live with Louie, and Facebook Live will be brought to you by our friends at Lover's Lane. Here we are. It's almost upon us, Valentine's Day, and
let's go sniff out some beef.
There are three ways to shop for all your bedroom essentials. That was a drop, by the way. Lover's Lane did not include that in copy.
No, I don't know who that guy is.
There's loverslane.com, 35 retail locations, and the all-new sexdrive.com for the hottest stuff that even Cupid can't get his hands on. They've got those quality sex toys. They got vibrators. And fun and exciting toys for couples. Are vibrators that make sound like vibrators are only for one person?
No, you can use one all the time.
A couple, too. I know, they're great. Sex Drive also has incredible selection of erotic apparel and naughty gift ideas. Perfect for Valentine's, so shop early. Visit sexdrive.com, powered by Lover's Lane.
Who's your Valentine? If you don't have one, you're probably ugly and don't know it.
And always mention the Drew and Mike Show.
Please.
When you're doing that. Do we have anybody for the Hall Financial Hotline besides Stan on Monday and Louie today?
Yeah, Brandon had a good one in his prep.
Oh, really?
That old 91-year-old guy that works out in his overalls. He's getting in shape. He's already doubled his time on the, what's it called? The treadmill. He can only do 10 minutes. Now he's up to 30. He's tripled it.
Yeah, but how fast? And what incline?
Wait, how much weight has he lost?
Well, he's just trying to get, he had trouble moving around, so. And he's got a great.
Let's run it again.
That's his instructor.
He needs Katie Sowers, clearly.
Yes. His name's Lloyd Black. He's in Alabama.
Check him out. Look at this guy.
Oh, isn't he adorable?
He's a farmer through and through.
She's pretty hot, too. That's what he wears to work out in. You know why, Trudy? Because he has no hips. And pants fall off him, he said.
Oh.
I'm not making that up.
He needs to work on his glutes, then.
I think
what if a 90-something-year-old guy developed big ass cheeks from working on his glutes? That would be cool.
I think you've been dipping into our over-80-only phone book again.
Flange biceps.
Old's this dude?
Look, they're always home. 91.
Okay. No, that's such facts, man.
And they have landlines. So, they do. They just do. Hall Financial, if you're paying over 4% on your mortgage, you have lingering high-interest credit card debt, you might want to refinance your home And maybe they can wind it all together and save you a whole bunch of money like so many other people have done with Hall Financial. It's the smart thing to do, to just find out. Because if you can't, you can't. And then, you know, well, I tried. If I could save money, at least I tried to find out, and now I know I can't. And if you do,
oh, yes, sir,
as so many people do, then you're smart, too, because you save a lot of money over a long term. A mortgage goes on a long, long time. $100 a month over 20 years?
It's worth it.
A lot of dough.
How much is that, Drew?
$100 over 20 years? Well, let's see. $1,200 a year times 20 would be $24,000.
Wow, you know what else that is?
What? I got
a whole lot of money.
I just love seeing you do math like that.
I like to like math. I like numbers. I've always liked them. A lot of homeowners need to reduce their rates, shorten their term, eliminate PMI, or take cash out. Now is the time. Interest rates are still low. And it seems like historically they don't last like this forever. They just don't. God, it's been a long time, hasn't it?
Yeah, it's great.
So Hall Financial, become their 1,200th five-star review, because they're very close, by calling 248-308-5000 or clicking the link on our website, filling out the online form. They get back so fast. Or you can go to drewandmike.hallfg.com for Hall Financial. Equal housing lender, NMLS number 1467435.
To be bone fantasy, man.
We got to get you one of those Andrew Yang math buttons, since you love math and numbers.
Oh, poor Yang.
I do. I like numbers.
See the signs?
Oh, the Yangster's done, right?
He's cooked, yeah. You know why? Because he loves math. That's what he said. He said, there's no way we're going to win. I'm not joking.
Yeah, he knows too much math to stay in it.
But his people at his post-New Hampshire press conference, what did they had signs that instead of saying Yang or Yang Gang, just said math.
He has pin.
Math. What's oh, no, he's where's math? The pin?
Yeah. 4, 5, 6, 50, you said.
That's. I mean, what if we just wore a pin that said phys ed or something like that? That's kind of weird.
English.
I think they're. I guess that's boastful.
I feel like I want to be Dana Carvey doing John McLaughlin on the McLaughlin Report, because I want to go around and go,
wrong.
Joe Biden, is he out? Mark?
Yeah, well, I told you before he even was running.
Trudy?
Out.
Out.
Brandon?
Gone. I didn't think so, but the first two, yeah, it looks like he's toast.
Okay, to be different, I'll say he's not out yet.
No one said that. Who said that?
Well, I kind of think
he is, though.
He might fight.
Well, honestly, he's being replaced by Bloomberg. Bloomberg's going to be the guy.
Calm down. It's okay.
The Democrat that's down the middle instead of far left like Bernie and Warren.
No. Moderates don't win anymore. It's got to be extreme.
I don't know.
Okay, best chance to beat Trump. Mark?
Best chance to beat Trump?
Yes. Mark?
Let's see.
Slow down.
Biden.
Turney.
Boot edge.
Brandon.
Bloomberg.
Bloomberg? I agree.
I think it's Bloomberg.
I think it's Bloomberg, too.
Why? You're getting nervous, man.
Boy, does that annoy people, too, especially the candidates who don't have $1 billion to spend.
Bernie's head's going to explode.
He just launched himself in there. He just launched in. He just spent $30 million in, what, a week or something?
And it's driving Bernie up a wall.
It's kind of cool, though. I mean, it does show how powerful the guy is.
I like it, too, because I hated the, you know, have to do all this in Iowa, and then you have to do all this in New Hampshire. And he's like, F that.
I'm just going to write a check and get in there. And, however, unfortunately...
Bernie keeps saying, we're fighting the millionaires, and we're fighting the people paid by millionaires. And he's going on about that. I'm like, some of those millionaires... And I kind of want the same thing.
Well, huh. Buttigieg has 40 billionaires.
I know.
That's terrible.
I like Buttigieg.
I didn't understand what was wrong with that either, because obviously someone with a lot of money
has to pay for
could
it.
Like you and what you're talking about, and someone with a little money could like it too. Yeah. All the people with $5 don't necessarily know what's right.
No, and they only have $5, so they must
be
wrong.
Judge revitalized the sidewalks of downtown South Bend by laying out decorative brick.
See?
Look at that decorative brick. It looks nice.
We need infrastructure.
He installed decorative lights under bridges, giving citizens of South Bend colorfully illuminated rivers.
Oh, okay, now I'm not on a side anymore.
Oh, Buttigieg?
So his entire thing is interior decorating?
Under threat of disappearing pets, Buttigieg negotiated lighter licensing regulations on pet chip scanners.
Trudy, taken out by the Biden ad. She's out. Why, now who's she with?
Someone said, why are you so surprised he's into
One
interior
Joe
decorating?
Biden ad and she's out.
Maybe the first husband does that for him. Maybe it's not him.
Well, okay, but, you know, I feel like that commercial should have more. Oh, that's a Biden commercial.
Okay, it's terrible, but I was thinking about who he would choose as a running mate because he's doing so bad in the black vote.
Yeah.
Buttigieg is like 4%.
Oh,
so
I know.
He's got to pick like a black guy, right, to get that vote. And then I started thinking about, ooh, what if his husband gets jealous because he picks a really hot black guy as his vice president?
What if the black guy...
Just like Mondale's wife got jealous of Ferraro.
Just like how John McCain was all nailing Sarah Palin.
Exactly. Well, Cindy McCain was worried about Sarah.
Nailing Palin.
Trending today on Twitter, hashtag impeach again. I know. I'm like, oh boy, this is fun.
Okay, great.
Bloomberg is apologizing, too, for his racist rant back in 2015, where he was defending Stop and Frisk, I believe.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it's funny that...
Sorry.
Pretty indefensible.
Well, it's one of those things, though, where obviously he believed in what he was doing, and I don't know how you turn around and say, you know what, that was horrible, and I finally have talked to enough people that I understand how horrible it is, when we thought that he thought it was horrible in 2015. I mean, he'd already apologized for it.
When was this audio tape from?
2015.
Oh, boy. Kind of a brown there.
So Trump, I don't know, we have the Trump audio. Trump tweeted out, Bloomberg is a total racist. Actually, it was, wow, Bloomberg is a total racist. And he retweeted the audio. He took it down. But
Because he said the exact same thing back then.
Do we have the audio of Trump talking about taking it down, perchance? I'm just asking. Because I'll quote others.
Why, do you know what he says?
Yes, I know exactly what he said.
Okay.
I gotta try to find it.
Does it make you laugh out loud?
Kind of.
Yeah, I replayed it for yesterday, Brandon, remember?
Yeah, but I don't know where you had it.
It was on him.
I'll say it. I put something out there. It was pretty nasty. And I thought, you know, I'm trying to bring the country together, not divide it. So I took it down.
Yeah. And that's the most divisive tweet he had,
right? Such a good guy. I think he gets more attention by taking it down, doesn't he? Because then people go, we got a screenshot. You did. Oh, I took it down because I'm trying to reunite the country, not divide it.
What a liar.
Sweet.
Is this comparable to what Bloomberg said right here?
I'm wondering, you know, I can't say it publicly, but I'm wondering how many of our bullshit calls and laughs. They call for everything, don't they? They just call the police about noise and trivial things. Blacks call them, as we said, for room service. You know?
That's one of the Jim Fouts audio talking about blacks.
He's complicit, the laughing guy.
I love his.
It's pretty similar.
Oh, that's a different guy. I thought that was the Fouts' laugh.
Oh, is that Fouts' made his laugh?
No,
Fouts's
that was the guy he was talking to.
Oh, I thought Fouts was laughing at his own jokes.
Fuck that shit.
And in the strangest irony of all, it seems that Trump liked Stop and Frisk when it was going on. I guess he approved of it, liked it.
Yeah, but he learned now. He knows it's wrong.
He learned before Bloomberg. Strange as that. So, let's see. Louis coming up in how many minutes?
Four.
4 minutes? Okay, then I will do this. I will mention that Jim Bentley is moving wheels over at Zot Ford, and we are giving people a chance to go to dinner with the show if you are able to secure yourself a new vehicle from Zot Ford, or a used vehicle, or lease one. That's all you got to do. By March the 15th, we've got signed shirts too. In fact, I saw them upstairs with the pens. So do not call Bentley if you want a new Ford or previously loved vehicle. Simply jump in your car, get to Zot Ford and Holly. They guarantee that between Anthony Ketchum, that's a guarantee, and possibly Jim Bentley, will save you tons of cash while making the process very simple and easy and fun. That's because Bentley's busy with his Twitter and all these other things. And don't forget, at Zot Ford, you can lease brand new cars, trucks, and SUVs around $100 a month, or buy them with 0% financing at up to $10,000 off sticker. And if it's before March the 15th, you can go to dinner with us. So there. And Dr. Roche has the Valentine's Day specials, and they usually last after Valentine's Day, too. So
yeah. Well, actually, for Valentine's Day, though, breast augmentation, $500 off. That's nice.
Ooh.
Get all pillowy in time for Valentine's Day. Also, because I want to tighten things up and make things taut, two areas of liposuction, get one area for free. And I remember you saying about the stripper that maybe she should, you know, like go in and get Diva done.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
She's a stripper, not a porn star. Well, but you can get Diva done, and there's a special deal at Dr. Roche's office. So you should contact them for a consultation, 248-338-1110, or go to droche.com. And the CBDs, all of the different sports CBDs, the skincare, and for pets, you can check that out while you're there, too. Because they have special petceuticals.
Oh, yeah. Mag's benefited from the CBDs. Start coming up the stairs again.
I know. I mean, they use that and stem cells in a lot of pets these days.
Okay.
So, cool.
248-338-1110 for Dr. Roche. And I should also mention one more thing. Let me because he's going to be here in a second, and that would be our friend at the offices of Luke Nowacki. Call Luke if you don't want to outlive your money. 248-663-4748. This is a concern. Trudy's kind of scared of it. I think many of us are. We don't admit it. And we get up there and go, ah, retirement's so far away. No, you should be thinking about it. And many of you are. Or you're thinking about 529s for your soon-to-be college kids, trying to not saddle them with endless debt like Brandon. By the way, Brandon was talking about his fat years today. I didn't know you had fat years. I'm not knocking fat people. Oh, Luke, you need to see Luke, too. You are a part of this commercial.
Yeah, let's not talk about my fat stage.
You brought it up.
7th and 8th grade, yeah.
Yod up.
I was a little chubby.
Brandon said he still pulled chicks when he was in his fat years.
Whoa.
7th grade?
To the extent that you can pull chicks when you're in 7th or 8th grade.
There is an extent. There is. Call Luke, 248-663-4748. He sponsors 3 of the shows here on the Red Shovel Network, and there's talk. Some people are saying he could be an Elric sponsor in April. So that's good news. And, of course, we end all Luke Nowacki's commercials by telling you, no, I guess I tell you, Security Investment Advisory Service, author Rollins Associates Corporation, member FINRA, SIPC, Rollins Associates Corporation, separately owned other entities and our marketing names, product services referenced here, are independent of Royal Alliance Associates Incorporated.
Cool.
So, I feel like there's so much sameness every day when I look at a lot of the stuff that's going on. That's why I was having fun with watching Cops yesterday.
Oh, yeah, that's good. You should take your mind off of it.
Yes.
Yeah.
And the definitely. Corporate cringe video was great. We have another corporate cringe video I think we should look at today.
Oh, I want to see it. Yeah.
It's weird because, you know, when Brandon starts saying, I don't even know what they're talking about, and he didn't even know what the narrator was talking about, I thought, oh, maybe this is just too weird. But no, it's the buzzwords.
Right.
Oh, my God. It's crazy.
The pretense of it all. Ugh.
Brandon's interviewing Louie right now, by the way. It's taking up our time. So, Matt Farley did not have a Louie song.
Nope.
I know!
I'm a little surprised.
Ha! Good one!
What's his date at Royal Oak Music Theater?
Louie is at the Royal Oak Music Theater on the 14th of March.
Listen to him. He's got words to say.
That's what we want to hear. Louie, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
God, I love that
Andrew,
voice.
Andrew, my Trudy.
Hey, Louie.
Wow. How are you, Louie?
I'm so good.
I was watching.
Every day I wake up, I'm still alive. I go, thank you, Lord.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, somebody emailed me and said, I miss Christine. Can't he have a stage show or do stand-up as Christine or do something with Christine? And I agree. What a great character.
We've been working on that. So funny you'd say that.
Really?
Mm. Wow.
Yeah. An evening with Christine Baskett.
Yeah.
Advice on love, life, and parenthood.
Oh, that's perfect.
Oh. Why does that character work so well?
I think because I get rid of Louie.
What?
That makes a lot of sense.
Louis.
Yeah, you've got a.
I love Louie, but I get rid of Louie. You don't see Louie in there, hopefully.
No.
I'm. You know, I can tell you this is how it happened. I went to the director, Jonathan Kreisel, who really helped develop, if not did develop Christine, really. But or help me develop her. And I said to him, Jonathan, I'm not going to change my voice for this character. And he goes, yeah, that's a good idea. All right. And that said, he hardly ever said anything about directing or anything, but he just would move me, you know, and he would give me little things to not do or to do better. But, and then I channeled all my mom and 5 sisters and all the interesting women I have met. And just, and then I just really, I didn't hold, whatever came to me, I just went with, you know, like I just went with it. I didn't filter her.
There's a lot of freedom in a character who isn't you, kind of, right? Mm. Not you specifically, but when you're playing a character. Right?
Yeah, especially a big, bossy you know, crazy, somewhat wounded human being like Christine.
But also, she's a very sweet kind of person.
Nurturing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, she's, her intentions are good, but her own, you know, she might get in her own way, you know, and screw up those intentions, you know.
I think what I really like the character is the enthusiasm for something that maybe I wouldn't be that enthusiastic about, like, you know, I brought champagne.
Yeah.
And it just, yeah, it seems.
Lori Grenier.
That's right.
Ronald Reagan.
And that's purely my mom. My mom would go, look at this glass of ice water. I just love it. I love this water, Louie.
I'll bring the cookies.
Yeah. And that was purely her. It was really her joy over the simplest, you know, we were poor to be, but the simplest things, my mom could find this unbelievable joy. And it was just fun. It was so much fun to do that character. And I miss her, and everybody is always saying to me, is there any chance? And I say, well, we're thinking about doing this stage production, but we want it to be right, you know?
So, Louis, what happened with Baskets? I mean, we watched it religiously, and then it's like not going to be picked up. And a lot of times when that happens, it ends up on a streaming platform. Is it done?
It's on you, Hulu. On Hulu, I think.
Yeah, but
you mean to be redone?
Yeah, season five or season six.
You know, I have to say, you two or three people watched it, right?
Yeah.
And then six people in Idaho loved it.
But it's an Emmy. You won an Emmy.
Three Emmys, right?
Yeah. I think we're ahead of our time.
Okay.
Really?
To be honest with you, I really do. I think, you know, listen, I think that FX probably gave us two more years, probably because of Zach Galifianakis, but two more years than they would have given most things.
Hmm. Well,
you know, it's a, you know what I always say? That show wasn't for everyone, but it was for everyone who really needed it.
Yeah, I agree.
I want to go back to your mom for a second, Louis, if you don't mind. That enthusiasm that really doesn't seem merited. I used to make fun of people like that because I always thought, how can you be excited about a pitcher of water or something? But now, I don't know why, it must be because I'm getting old. I really appreciate people that are unnecessarily enthusiastic because I just feel like I wish I could be that way.
Yeah.
I'd feel a lot better.
You could be.
I don't know. I'm trying.
No, you know, I think what happens is you have to just go like, I think you just have to go like, doing my show! I think you have to, you know, you got to go a little crazy when you're that person. You got to go, you know, like inside you, inside all of us, crazy person. And that's, you know, that's what I celebrate. And, you know, I think, you know, I tell people, they go, what do you like to try to say? Try to live a joyous life, and then I giggle. Because it should go with it. Try to live a joyous life. And they, you know, they back up a couple steps. But some of them get it right away.
Yeah.
Oh, that's
you know,
funny.
I think we hold back because we don't want to be judged by people or thought. You know, we used to get that when we were growing up. Don't be so, can't watch that.
Louis, it's funny. I was watching an interview with you, and you were talking about first getting into comedy and how you realized you could make people laugh, and then you realized you could also make people laugh even when you weren't trying, when you were being serious. And that just made me think of Louis Anderson calling somebody and yelling at them about a serious issue, I don't know, a credit card thing, and then just laughing because, you know, you're Louis Anderson.
I don't care if you're paid or not.
Yeah, exactly.
I think that, you know, that's really the true thing is I would talk to people and I go, you know, this thing here that we're talking about, and they'd laugh and I go, this is serious. And then they'd laugh more. Then they'd laugh more and I go, this is hopeless.
What a cross to bear, though. It's not the worst one.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's true. You know, I think, especially now in the world that's gone so fascist, you know, it's fascist forward, you know, like real straight leg pants. Fascist forward. I think you have to remain in, oh, come on. You know, yeah. I'm not buying that. I'm going to stay here with that. Mm-hmm. You know, we're all responsible to ensure that all of us are protected and taken care of. We're all responsible. Like, if I heard that they were, you know, picking on you three, I'd have to get into it.
Well, thank you, Louie. You
know? No, but I mean, I would. I mean, I always say to people, like, pick people battles. Don't pick businesses and stuff. Pick people. Like, if this person is bugging you, let people know somebody's hurting you. If you're in a situation where you feel unsafe, reach out to people.
Well, you
know, don't be afraid to walk right out of that situation.
Yeah.
No,
you just get some freedom, get some safety. People are, you know, a lot of people are held hostage. And I mean that literally, but, mm-hmm. you know, also figuratively, a lot of people have. So, oh, if I do that, then I can't do this. You know, I'm naked right now.
Great.
On the porch.
Oh,
sweet.
Nice.
No, I'm just kidding. But I'm not on the porch.
I'm a pigeon. I'm friends to the pigeon.
I'm on the same page as you are, Louie, except I have a slightly different spin. I think when things are so crazy, and I try to say I sit in the middle, but really I just feel like there's two groups of people and they're so mad at each other and they think each other are so wrong. And there's nothing redeemable. And so I really like the people who, I mean, really enjoy, and this is not just a full-time policy, but people like yourself who are out there just making us laugh and kind of forget about this madness. You know, my Twitter, I don't know if you're on Twitter or not. Yeah, my Twitter feed, it's just full of people going crazy. I'm like, wow, is Bette Midler this mad this often? Is she really mad? I mean, I feel like she is, and I feel bad for her, and I know she's sincere, but at the same time, I just really enjoy the things that entertain me so much more, and I appreciate them.
Yeah,
I mean, Bette, you're the wind beneath our wings. Bette, fly again.
Curb your enthusiasm.
You know, I agree with you. You know, I agree with you that you have to. I mean, we're all connected. I don't care what anyone says, except for that one guy. And no, but we're all connected. You know, we're all, my mom, I got that humanity from my mom. If some kid wasn't eating well in the neighborhood, he was at our house for dinner, you know, and then it's because she was that kind of person. She was a caretaker for the community in her sense, you know. She tried to, you know, she wanted the right, and she didn't want to be, you know, she was abused by my father, so she didn't want anyone getting hurt.
Hmm. Wow. And she gave birth 16 times, correct?
16 that I know of, because you never talk about that stuff with your mom, you know.
No.
You never say, hey, did you have miscarriages too? I mean, I would now if she were with us, but, you know, I think she had a, I mean, I think she was a great mom, and she was a productive mom, children-wise. And I think she is the kind of mom that would have taken care of five more children if somebody needed someone to take these five children.
Oh, wow, that's wonderful.
Yeah, they're amazing, you know? People.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, not enough. She was complicated, and she had her own stuff, but nothing like, she was good. She was good, you know, when she died, people came to the funeral that we didn't know. And they said, we met your mom once, and she was so nice. We had to come and say, hey.
That's why Christine Baskets is someone we need back right now, I guess.
Well, listen, why don't we, you know, what about the movement starting here?
Okay.
Here we go.
Let's do it.
You know what I mean? Bring Christine Baskets. And the Basket family, or just Christine. No, but bring it back. You know, like, why do you want it back? Tell me why you want it back. You know, like, I mean, I understand a part of it, but, you know, people wrote me, you know, hundreds of emails. Put some clothes on. No.
Do you think Christine works without Chip and Dale?
I'm not sure.
I don't know.
I think that, you know, she found love.
Yeah,
I think Christine thinks she's the center of the universe, FYI.
Everything Christine says, I laugh, Louie, and it's not. And a lot of them aren't, you know, I brought the champagne. just things that aren't even meant to be funny. There's just something so sweet and funny about the character. I can't even explain it, but maybe just a piece
of
that.
Whole thing right there, that I know thing right there?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So that was my way of, like, what will make Zach laugh? That's what I would say. And what could I say that would fit into the character saying that? And so that was my thing in that. But, you know, people, Christine, you have one or two ways to go with her. You hate her for being that, you know, loud, obnoxious person, or you embrace it. You love her. You go, oh, Christine, I love that. You took me by. I mean, I think Christine was just trying to, like, you know, she had a hard life.
And she's very selfless.
Oh, yeah.
She
was always worried about Ken or.
She always, but always after she, you know, broke a bunch of stuff in the China shop.
That's true. Yeah.
And she'd go, oh my God, was that me?
Let
me bring you over some butternut squash.
Last time we talked to you, we mentioned Coming to America, and I think it had just been announced that they were doing it again, and you told a story about Eddie doing it. But then I read that the scene, you're only in one scene with like 100 other people. Is that true?
I think I'm in a couple scenes, actually. Okay. Yeah.
Is Maurice still at McDonald's?
I think the idea behind that character in the first show, right, in the first movie.
Yeah.
I think it was continued in the second movie, that character. But, you know, I don't think that character, I mean, I don't, you know, I'm not, I did what they
wanted you to do.
What they wanted me to do, and I loved Eddie, and I had such a great talk about doing stand-up. He was going to do stand-up again. Arsenio and I had a great talk, and John Amos and I had a great talk. And
that's what I was going to ask you.
The director was so great, you know.
Are you the reason Eddie's back doing stand-up now?
I don't think so.
Come on, take credit for it.
Nah. I mean, Eddie, he hasn't done it yet, so, you know.
He's so hot right now. I mean, the Dolomite movie, he hosted SNL, and all of it was great.
Mm-hmm. Well, he's always been great. He never stopped being great, but people started, like, you know, they always judge you for if it doesn't work. If you don't make another 48 hours, or you don't make another,
Beverly Hills Cop.
Coming to America. If you don't do that, if you don't hold it, you know, every time it's what happens to a lot of filmmakers. Because, you know, filmmakers just want to make another film. And, you know, when you get that script, you think, oh, this is pretty good. And, you know, sometimes it doesn't work out that way.
Well,
you know, it takes everything has to go right and everything has to be perfect, really, to have a movie come together.
But you know,
I think movies are the hardest things. I mean,
they are.
You know, when you watch movies, you go, oh, I don't need to watch that again. Or you go, oh, I can't wait to watch that again, you know?
Yeah. Well, Norbit came out, and I think it got Razzies, and I just skipped it because, like, oh, he hasn't had a good movie in a while, you know, and it got bad reviews.
Yeah.
And then I saw Norbit, and I laughed hysterically, and now I've seen it four or five times. I love that movie. That Rasputia character is hilarious.
Well, listen, Eddie Murphy is great. Period. Did you ever see Mr. Church? He did a serious part. It was unbelievable.
No,
but what I'm saying is the essence of Eddie Murphy is the essence of Eddie Murphy. We fell in love with that, and that's what we're looking for in everything. So if it doesn't exactly come that way, you know, I think, listen, I just, Dolomite. Come on, that's fantastic. I was supposed to play a record producer, but I couldn't get away for it.
Yeah, it's a fabulous, fabulous movie. I want to mention something from Baskets, and I want to mention, too, that Louis is at the Royal Oak Music Theater on March the 14th. He was here last year somewhere around this time for Mark Ridley's 40th anniversary at the Comedy Castle, which was fantastic. And now at the Royal Oak Music Theater.
That was a lot of fun, man.
Yeah, for a bigger venue because people can't go to a 400-seat venue all the time. It fills up too
fast.
And
I don't want to do four shows, I'll be honest.
No, hell no. But
you know, you just don't want to. You just finish a show and they go, all right, have a sandwich and then get up and get back.
Oh, my God.
You know, it seems fake to me a lot of times.
Yeah.
So I have to have a big talk with myself before each show like that if I'm doing multiple shows.
Uh-huh.
And I have to put in a whole new opening or a whole new chunk of stuff for it to be, so I don't walk through it. Because, you know, the people in the second show deserve as good a show as the people in the first show, and vice versa.
I wish everyone felt that way.
Yeah,
You know what people always say? I wish everybody felt that way, but I think most, most comics, I don't know. I don't watch comics because you can't watch comedy because premises will jump right into your ego, will take them and say, hey, that's yours. You created that. You'll come up and go, you know, it's very easy to do. That's why I stay away from that.
Oh, that's funny. I was just going to mention about Christine, these two happened relatively, relatively close together that I thought just one took me way down and the other one brought me right back up. And it was when Christine was trying on, you know, trying to look good for the Channel 9 news coming over. And you got that one outfit you really liked and you lift your arms in victory and the sleeves rip. And it was like,
I'm in between sizes.
And it was really sad. And then the next thing you know, you got the outfit and you went and you're all excited and they're there. And you looked over and saw the cameraman and you said, welcome, cameraman. And it was so out of left field, but it was just, I laughed out loud and realized, man, I just went down. I'm back up.
That was an ad lib because nobody ever welcomes those people.
No, they don't.
I just said, I'm going to do what I would do normally, you know, that I would welcome someone. But, you know, there were lots of things in there that were back and forth. But, you know, Christine, I think what people liked about her, she was living her life right in front of you. And she wasn't holding nothing back. You know, we didn't try to hide Christine's size or hide, you know, or make her look different than she would have. I think it was just really Jonathan and all the writers. It just was beautifully done. I mean, you know, it was, and you know, nobody realizes how great of an actor, or maybe they do, that Zach is, because, you know, we'd do a scene, and then he'd go change 20 minutes later, we'd do the scene again, and he was able to, like, in the first scene, pair up something he was planning for the second scene.
Wow.
And I go, oh, man, he's so good. It was really seen. And I had three people ask me on the road who plays Dale.
Oh, my God.
So that's the State of the Union.
So I'm watching Ferris Bueller's Day Off. It just happened to be on. And all of a sudden, I did a double take. I go, wait a second, is that Louis? And it's the scene where multiple of you are delivering the singing telegram. And then I read that there's another one, too. And I've seen that movie a bunch of times. And I why did I not know you're in that? I guess it's pretty quick, but.
Yeah, it's pretty quick. John Hughes was a big fan of mine. And he just was so nice to me. And he put me in that, did that little part. And, you know, I didn't know. And I guess he knew probably because he was so smart. That was going to be such a big movie, but I didn't. And then also I heard they're doing another one of those.
Ferris Bueller?
Really?
I didn't know
that. Yeah, I heard that. I heard that. Is that on the down low?
Oh.
Well, breaking news.
Well, hopefully they sneak you in there again. But was that a big deal for you at the time? Like, oh, my God, I'm going to be in Ferris Bueller's Day Off, or was that something that was just sort of another? Because you look at
your career. Who knew that Ferris Bueller's Day Off was going to be anything?
No, you wouldn't.
I mean, that was really the thing. I went, how come I don't have a bigger part? That's what I said. How come I'm not Ferris Bueller's bully? How come I'm not beating him up for you? I was supposed to play the bully in Pee-wee's Playhouse.
Oh, really?
Pee-wee's Big Adventure, but I didn't do it. I should have done it.
He's coming back.
Yeah. Where is he?
He's hosting the Pee-wee's Big Adventure. When people host a film now, so that's kind of a big deal now. Like the Napoleon Dynamite guys did it. Know. Yeah.
Oh, there's a Q&A.
You see him
that.
Here and there in weird little parts.
Right.
He was in a cocaine movie. What movie?
Blow.
Was that?
Blow. Yeah. Blow.
Oh great. Man, he was so. Was it 70s? Was that 70s?
Yeah, that was the 70s. Oh, yeah. Yes.
Yeah. 70s, man. Yeah,
he was a hairdresser who dealt pot.
Yeah.
And, God, yeah, that was a great role. I love that movie.
You guys are really like obscure stuff, which is nice.
Well, you know what else we loved? We loved Splash. We watched Splash every week. It was such a great show.
Listen, let me tell you, that was the day they wouldn't let me do it, just so you know. The doctor said no. Under no circumstances. You can't do it. And I said, well, she goes, you could die up there. I go, what a way to go, though, really? That's what I said. And she kind of, she stifled a little bit of a laugh. And then my doctor knew the TV doctor. And I said, you got to call her and tell her I've got to do it. Tell her if I'll be really careful and all that stuff. And it took a long time to get cleared for me to do that. And that was one of the best things I ever did. I wish they would have. I wanted to dive head first off the 33-foot, the 10-meter, and they wouldn't let me. They go, you can go feet first. I go, well, I want to go head first.
I got to squeeze my butt.
But the relationship with you and Kareem, I don't know, it was a fun show to watch.
Kareem, we used to joke around in the Hollywood Squares, man.
Yeah.
You're still friends with Kareem, right?
He would stand and be in the third square on the top. But anyway, no. he's a really nice guy. You know what he gave me? One of my very cherished presents. He gave me a giant replica of his championship ring. You know, like a giant paperweight thing. It was a giant ring.
Oh, wow.
And it just is the coolest thing. I take it out sometimes and I go, insane. You know, just because it's so cool. It was the sweetest thing. He was the sweetest guy.
Yeah, he's a neat guy. He really is.
And he stood up for what he believed in.
Absolutely.
And it didn't always, it didn't make his life career-wise easier, I think, but. He did rock those glasses, though, didn't he?
Oh, yes, he did.
Goggles.
Those goggles. Yeah. Oh, my God. Nobody still. Who's topped that with goggles?
No.
Huh?
Nobody.
Maybe. Huh?
Swimmers. Well,
nobody.
But, yeah.
No one else wore them, but what, Horace Grant?
There's been a few.
Yeah, well, Horace is copying him. So.
Yeah.
When he did those, I just went, oh, yeah. He does have the most points in the forever, doesn't he? Doesn't he still have the record for the most points?
Well, let's see. Lou Alcindor, Michael Jordan.
Jordan, and then LeBron just is in third now, isn't he? Didn't he move?
Yeah, LeBron just passed Kobe.
Wait a minute. No. Are you sure that isn't he first, though?
Yeah.
I think Kareem is number one.
Yeah.
38,387 points.
Well, Louie, you could call him up and ask
him. How could you not come out with a dessert if your name was Kareem? How could you not? Kareem. With a coffee thing or a dessert or some ice cream bar. Yeah. The Kareem.
Oh, that's right.
Come on.
That's great.
Are you a big sports fan, Louie?
Giant.
Yeah. Are you?
Are you, because you're from Minnesota, so what is it, Vikings or are you?
Vikings, and I could get rid of the ball faster than Kirk Cousins, but anyway.
Twins?
Twins.
Gophers?
I was good friends with Harmon Killebrew.
Really? Wow, 573 career home runs.
Yeah, he was a sweet guy, man. What?
573 career home runs.
He was showing off.
Was it 73 or 74?
Five.
Oh,
that's a challenge.
I hope Louis is right.
I'm pretty sure it's 73.
Well, Louis is right.
Tell me, because I've been saying the wrong number.
He was, I think, one of the truly underrated power hitters of all time.
Well, really. He wasn't the kind of guy who'd show off about it.
No, he was a very...
He was a giant human being. He used to lift me up and spin me around.
That's 573.
573, Louis.
Okay.
I said... Didn't I say that?
No, you said 74.
Oh, I know. He was just a giant human and a kind, very kind. And you know what he used to do? And this is how I met him. He built rubber... baseball diamond.
For
thing
special
for
needs
kids who are handicapped. Yeah, oh. So
how
they
cool.
can play ball without getting hurt.
That's cool.
Wow.
He led
and
the
that was so cool.
You know, I don't mean to take your thunder away, Louis, but he led the league in home runs 6 times, all of them, 42, 48, 45, 49, and let's see what year is that, 64. He hit 40.
Got a crush.
He's showing off.
I'm looking at his stats now.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And he had 44.
Yeah, no, he probably was the best home run hitter before all the juice stuff ever. Hmm.
His home runs per bat, I would think, is right up there at the top. He's a hell of a power hitter.
And Hank Aaron was probably the first guy, wasn't he, to really do it without any kind of elixir?
Yeah. Well, yeah, he was clean.
There's before juice and after juice. So.
Willie Mays was clean. Babe Ruth was clean. So there's a few guys right up there.
Willie Mays, I would like to have known him back then. I bet he was crazy and wild and fun.
God, he was crazy on the field, that's for sure. He could do it all.
Louis, who's
I'm a big sports fan. And, I love the Super Bowl this year because Mahomes, his dad used to pitch for the Twins.
Yep.
Oh. So, I'm a sports fan.
Are you telling me that you actually watched his dad pitch for the Twins? Because that's got to be a while ago.
No, I didn't. I said, I don't think that I watched. Maybe. What year would it have been?
He was a pitcher in the 80s, wasn't
he? Yeah, 1980s.
Yeah. I used to watch baseball with my dad. It's the one thing we did. But I probably... did, but the 80s were kind of a blur for me.
Sounds right? like some of it's coming back to you all of a sudden.
Yeah. Oh, it's always there. The 80s were so much fun. They just were. They were just so much fun. I was talking to somebody the other day and I just started giggling because, it was fun. And it was the height of my... It's really when I started to get going, I did my Tonight Show. I did the Rodney Dangerfield special. I got a big deal from NBC to not do nothing. And I just love that. What do you mean? I don't have to do anything? No, but if you do it, you have to do it with them. Well, I'm not doing anything. So those kind of things, that was the height of my, all my dreams came true there.
There's something about the climb, isn't there?
Yeah.
The climb's the only thing. I tell all comics, you can't wait long enough to become successful, because once you do, everything will change. You'll just start doing things for other reasons. You won't be following your dream. You'll be just plodding along.
Yeah. Hmm. Plateau.
It's tough. It's a bitch.
I know, but that's the fun. Is the journey. You know that.
Absolutely.
Look how hard it was. Nobody knows how much work you guys did to get where you are and how much ammunition you have to keep it. Well, you know what I mean? Like how important it is because of that. Like you guys don't take, I don't think any one of you take for granted what you're doing.
I don't, but I remember making $113 a week in Christiansburg, Virginia, and I remember it fondly. I had a ball. It was great.
See?
It was pure. I loved it. It was. It really. I don't have bad memories of that. But if you talk about me making a lot more money than that, I can tell you a lot of things I didn't like about that.
Yeah, why of course. That? Because with all the more money you make, the more they have to just like come in and poke you every day with the stick. What are you doing? You getting anything done?
Yeah.
We're down in Skokie.
Louis Anderson, we're so glad to talk to you, and I know.
Oh my God, you made my whole day, my whole week. You really did.
You made ours.
You really did. You made my. Honestly, I cannot tell you how I could go right now and get on stage. I mean, you woke me up. You woke all my memories up, and I appreciate it.
Well, put some clothes on first.
No, you can't tell me what to do. I'm pretty sure it was 574.
We'll see you on Saturday, March the 14th. You got a Saturday night at Royal Oak Music Theater. That's great.
Yeah, 1 week before, 10 days before my birthday.
Oh. All right, Louis, we're celebrating.
Huh?
Happy birthday.
Thank you so much, Louis.
Oh, I gotta go. Uh-huh. Yeah.
Have a great week.
Louis!
Oh.
What a nice guy.
I'm not even paying attention.
He takes no work whatsoever. It's so easy.
Yeah.
So few people are... There are very few interviews like that.
He's very comfortable.
He really is. Hey, we need the campaign for Christine in some way. It has to happen.
You know, I didn't think about that.
Totally want that to happen.
Because somebody emailed me and said, I miss Christine. It should be Snap.
And, oh, well, fake news.
And when we brought it up with Louis, and he, you know, you asked him, why not another season? And he said, well, because you three are watching it, and six other people were watching it. And,
I don't believe that, though. I believe there are
not
more people than that.
But when it comes to renewing, obviously it didn't have quite the, you know.
Right.
I'm just surprised the streaming service didn't pick it up.
Oh. It is a great show.
Unless Zach wants to do other things.
Yeah, and with Zach
and
Louis, it just had so much going for it. And I think he's right. There's something about the timing, or maybe it's FX. I don't know, but that show should have done a lot better.
I really just wanted
somewhere it will someday.
I wanted to play drops for him and just find out the stories behind him, because it sounded like a lot of them were improvised.
Yeah.
You know?
Hey, do you want Arizona iced tea? I got some of that Arizona iced tea. I love the can.
I remember last time he said this one was improvised.
Hey, will we get the USA Today tomorrow?
Welcome, cameraman.
I'm thinking we should order a pizza.
And the hype for Costco, too. I mean,
I know.
So,
Martha.
Natural.
Louis just called back just to say thank you.
Really? Aww. Oh, my God. He's so cool.
Sweetest man who ever lived.
Did he call? Oh, okay.
Look at this. Yeah. You love it? It's hands free.
Give me his number. Give me his email.
Cool.
What? He gave his number?
To me.
Oh.
We're homeboys now.
It's not for me. It's not for us.
I can share it.
The things that Brandon has that none of the rest of us have.
Yes.
Like Andy Dick's. Never mind.
And fat years?
And, well.
Fat I have fat years. I'm still in them.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. Sorry. And I yo up.
you yo up. You don't yo up.
I do yo up in the winter.
You have a Quiznos convention to get to?
Are we still live on Facebook?
Let's see.
I don't know. I don't believe so.
Okay.
Operator has left.
Oh, it says live.
Facebook Live. I thought I keep seeing comments up there. That's what I was asking. Facebook Live.
Oh, we didn't okay. Bye. Well, there'd be.
Just ask them if. Oh, no, it just ended.
Facebook Live is brought to you by Lover's Lane. Loverslane.com. 35 locations. Of course, they're powered by SexDrive.com.
Mm-hmm. Ooh.
Yeah.
Thank you.
And I got to squeeze my butt.
After that, you want to go out and get a Jeep Dodge, Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram.
DSandTheD.com.
Starting something new, the Start of Something New event. Our friends at SOT are leasing new loaded 2020 big Ram Bighorn Crew Cab 4x4s as low as $148 a month. It's interesting that cars now have such compound names that have to describe everything that's going on in them, as opposed to...
They do. You're right.
But it is a 2020 Ram Bighorn Crew Cab 4x4 as low as $148 a month. Or if you're all about the Jeep, stop by Zot and lease a new 2020 Jeep Compass, limited all-wheel drive, around $122 a month. However, if you really want to step it up, get to Zot and lease a new 2020 Jeep Grand Cherokee as low as $229 a month. Plus, Zot is your lease turn-in headquarters. Any make, any model, over miles, body damage payments remaining, Dirty Mike and the Boys, etc. No problem at Zot. They will get you into a new ride for the new year. Check out deals in the D.com and their massive inventory. And Dr. Yaldo can get you 2020 and 2020 even better. He can get you back to 2010. Maybe it sounds corny, but it's true. Without glasses, without contacts, without readers of any kind, and you don't have to magnify everything on your phone to read it. Truth is, the only way to get there is to offer safe, painless, and brief procedure at the Yaldo Eye Center. For two years now, our listeners have been telling us how easy it is. You call the number, you're convenient to go in for the free evaluation. It's no pressure. They're all super nice. And Dr. Yaldo examined your eyes up to a dozen different ways to determine whatever your particular issues are. Because, you know, I didn't realize that I was nearsighted when I was younger. And now, of course, I'm having the issues trying to read screens and stuff.
Oh.
But there's also astigmatism and all those other things and cataracts to worry about. And Dr. Yaldo can look in and see what everything is going on in your eyeball is all about.
I can't read anything unless there's just an absurd amount of light now.
Oh, I know.
I'm getting old.
Oh, I know what that is, I think.
What, being old?
Yes.
That's why it's, or do I have some disease?
No, but being old, cut it out, Mark. He may say that you're a perfect candidate, or maybe you need nothing at all. He may recommend that you wait until your condition changes, or he may tell you that you're maybe not a good candidate for LASIK or multifocal lens exchange, or maybe the opposite. He's become the most trusted and experienced eye surgeon in the Midwest because his goal is to serve people the great gift of vision, not just to take their money. Do what hundreds of Drew and Mike listeners have done. Make the call, understand what will be required to rid you of glasses, contacts, and reading glasses, and then decide for yourself. 1-800-398-EYES. That's 1-800-398-EYES. Or go to YaldoEyeCenter.com.
I'm trying to flag you down.
Oh.
Channel 4, you know, they're waiting for some information about Mel Tucker.
Oh, are they?
Press conference, but they had Man on the Street. Do you have any interest in seeing Man on the Street in East
There's
Lansing?
Nothing that is more precise than Man on the Street interviews. Well, I always want to see Man on the Street.
When you don't have the information, where do you go? But to
Man on the Street.
Well, Man on what street?
Chafing for a Michigan State student, and I love to drink.
Yeah!
In East Lansing? I still think myself, man, over blowing that man on the street.
Last 8 days was a whirlwind is an understatement. Watch.
The MSU coaching search for its next football coach reached a breakneck pace in the last 8 days.
So are you familiar with who they hired? Mel Tucker?
I am.
What are your thoughts?
Who did they hire?
Mel Tucker.
Oh, I thought it was going to be Luke Fickell.
The candidates came and went so fast, some fans couldn't keep up.
2 days?
No, Fickell turned them down yesterday and in the last 24 hours. So you didn't even know that Luke Fickell passed.
No,
it's breaking
news.
I thought
that was a done deal.
To him.
Oh, no. Oh,
shoot. Who, I don't even know who Mel Tucker is.
Well, Mel Tucker is one of a handful of candidates who publicly stated they would not be taking the job. But when the Luke Fickell deal fell through, MSU AD Bill Beekman circled back, and overnight, they struck a deal.
He's a great recruiter, and really excited to see what he brings here.
Fans are mixed, but warming up to Tucker rather quickly.
What was she gonna
He's
say?
No stranger to MSU or to those on the search committee. His career began as
more
a
man on the street. They'll tell us.
98 team under head coach.
I think there's two more coming here.
And an assistant coach named Mark D'Antonio.
We'll see. I mean, it was a bit of a surprise when they hired D'Antonio, and he obviously did very, very well.
I think at the end of the day, we got our guy, and I think he'll be here for a while, and I think we'll see great things on the field.
Wait.
At the end of the day.
Cool.
Okay. We got a
at the end
guy.
Of the day?
We got a guy. We got a,
Could he
a
be?
Guy.
Oh.
A guy.
Run
guy?
It again. Run it again. Let's go.
Why did they hire Katie Sowers? Yeah, that would have really... If they're interested
they
in changing the culture and
they
all the
problems
with that, should
have a female on the staff.
They should have hired Katie Sowers.
Defensive line, linebackers, DBs, running backs, quarterbacks.
It needs to be gender balanced.
Okay, we'll come back to that topic. By the way, Michigan State, why is it that they can't seem to do anything right? Nothing.
Well,
everything seems to go wrong. What is going on there? I mean, even when they're trying to fix things, they do it wrong.
The timing of the coaching hire sucks for him. You know, he steps down a day before signing.
Okay, so that was wrong.
But the whole Luke Fickell thing really bit him in the ass because it sounded like they had a deal with him on Saturday and he was good to go.
And they probably told, the headhunters probably told all these other coaches, like Mel Tucker.
Didn't the Iowa State guy turn it down, too?
He did, yeah.
Okay, I mean, that doesn't
kind of
sound
a surprise,
good.
No.
And, I mean, I like the Spartans. I love Tom Izzo. I love the basketball program. I've been a fan of D'Antonio in football. And honestly, I was looking at his career because the last few years over here is, oh, my God, what's the matter? Why can't they do what they were doing in 2015? And but overall, he was 114 and 57, which is 6-6-6-6-6-6-6-6. Oh, 666.
Whoa, the number of the beast.
the number of the beast. No, it's a great winning percentage.
Yeah. He's the best coach they've ever had.
He is. So he was a huge success. But meanwhile, all this other stuff, and, you know, Lou Simon, and, you know, the search committee and the board and Joel Ferguson, it just seems like there's a clusterfuck every 5 minutes
Von
there.
Robbins, yeah, it's...
And I am a fan. It's I didn't go there, so I don't lose my mind over it, but it's distressing. And hopefully this is a step in the right direction. Although, isn't it strange to think that, you know, if you fast forward 5 years, you go, oh, God, what a terrible picker. Oh, my God, what a great picker. What if we'd taken Luke Fickell? Or it could be that Luke Fickell is the next Ohio State coach and is winning up a storm.
They turned him down, though, already.
Yeah.
He wants that job, but...
Wait, turned down Ohio State?
Mm-hmm. He's Fickell.
Luke Fickell turned down...
or they turned... No, they turned him down. He wanted that job.
Oh, when?
Yeah.
Urban Meyer. Okay. Yeah. That's interesting. I thought he loved Cincinnati so much.
You know, they could have... No, well, they could have kept him, too, when he had his interim year.
Yeah.
But they got Urban. I mean, obviously, who wouldn't do that?
I wanted to change directions here a little bit. Will you get the Corporate Cringe number 2, Brandon? I felt like Corporate Cringe 4 was a fail, and instead of just declaring it a fail and, you know, funny to me but not to anyone else, I'm determined that this is funny.
Did it work?
You weren't here, were you, Trudy?
No.
Did you hear it, Corporate Cringe 4?
I was halfway through, sorry.
What?
Fake.
I yelled at because I don't put my name on my papers at work. And
not
now
even
this.
Paying attention.
First of all, I like the way the guy narrated it, and the clips they used I thought were just like, who are these? These people are being paid to talk like this? Go ahead, lay up Corporate Cringe 2 on us.
No, I got the gist from the email, so I think I'll just be.
And this guy he's got a lot of streams, doesn't he?
I just get 100,000
or something?
Over HR and business jargon, and like the fact that there's a lot of people that just use a lot of fluffy words in business, and I have no idea what the they're talking about or what the they're saying. Zero idea of why they even have a job. Like, what is it that they do? Why do you speak this way? And as I was looking for more content for Corporate Cringe, I came across this place called Kelly Services. I have absolutely no idea what they do. For watching like six of their videos where it sounds like they're speaking another language, I think that they're some sort of recruiting agency, but they never actually specify that. They're just using all of these terms that, like, I don't know, it's like they're in a big circle and they just like jerk off to all these special HR terms that no one really knows. Like, why are you talking like that? Like, why do you say this? Why can't you just be like, this person's more energetic and this person's more serious. This person likes to do the job. This person likes to... Anyways, just watch the video. Why do these people exist?
The key disruptors in the Kelly organization. Can you talk a little bit about how the future of work is impacting Kelly as an organization?
It's fun right now. And I'll maybe frame it across four dimensions, because when we look at the future of work, we see it across all four dimensions. And if you skip any one of them, you really start short playing how you're looking at things. So
So he starts talking about these four dimensions, and we don't know what the four dimensions are or what they're used for. I don't even remember what this lady said at the beginning, but I'm pretty sure like when you think of like your stereotypical HR person, it's this person right here. That just count how many times they say organization. Well, let me continue.
First is the workforce. Understanding the makeup and the construct of the workforce. Certainly we understand that we have multiple generations in the workforce today. We have people operating, again, with different psychographic behaviors as well. What they're looking for, where their interests are. We have people located in different areas across the organization.
We have people with different psychographic interests. Why don't you just say we have people with different personalities that like to do different things? Psychographic, bro.
So you're adapting to learn how to work through that. The second is the workplace. the physical place that we go to where we do this thing called work.
Oh, is that what it is?
Why? Why did he have to explain that? Bro, we know what work is, man. You can tell that he knows that he's full of shit by the way he, like, looks down. So that people, like, he just... It just looks like he's making this shit up on the spot.
Has changed radically in organizations, and it's one of the things that's very undervalued by a lot of organizations today. You know, at Kelly, we have our Kelly Anywhere program to make it available for people who want to work from home, but that's not the choice of every person. Different people want to operate in a different environment. Those people who have real strong social profiles are going to want to have that connectivity with...
Those people that have real strong social profile... What? Those people that are outgoing, they like to hang out with other people. Those people that kind of don't like being at home all day. Strong social profiles.
Group that they get together with. So how do you start individualizing that environment to fit the needs of each person that you're working with?
You don't.
Technology is
the
third area.
I don't even know what he's talking about.
The communication technology is certainly something that's changed for all of us. How we're able to communicate, one, constantly, but two, graphically, in video, on a constant basis right now, so that we can make stronger connections, so we can understand body language. You look at the technology extending into AI, robotics, robotic process automation, all coming in and having significant impact and change in the construct of work and how work is getting done for people.
What the is this guy talking about? We have communication and we use technology to communicate. We do video calls on Skype. And then this dude just like goes off on like a tangent about machine learning and AI coming into the workplace to radically change the way that we're communicating inside the org. Like just.
And then the fourth area, which is another that I believe is undervalued by a lot of organizations, is social norms.
I just want to take a minute to appreciate the dynamic range of this camera. Typically, dynamic range is when you can't see inside and outside at the same time. They sure do got lots of money.
The labor law inside a given environment that changes what's appropriate or not. The laws that we create inside our organizations, those artificial structures that have been built out.
Wow.
But then also what? Understanding how purpose has become so much more important to individuals in the workforce today. How they choose where they go to the work. And this isn't a millennial thing. Take your 50 to 70-year-old workforce that has disposable income, that is now looking at alternative ways of what they can do, that they're not just available as options to become an adjunct professor or a volunteer
what
at the local
church
or the local school, but they're being brought back into organizations because they have that social capital. They have that network that's been built out.
They have social capital. I guess that means like you have value, like social market value as a human because you're old and you have connection. Like,
and they understand how to get things done inside an organization.
Also, he was talking about the people that are 50 to 70. Shouldn't those people be retired?
All of that comes in to start adapting the way that
I know, they're really recruiting 70-year-olds.
And so it's looking at all four of those constantly and continuously and embracing the change that's occurring in each and every one of those, having fun with it and experimenting along the way, recognizing we don't have all the answers, finding
how are those other
that
two people not sitting there listening to
and challenge us to disrupt.
Would you be in tears if you had to listen to this guy?
Maybe it's a big game to see who can bore the other one the most.
The word disrupt all the time. The next disrupt
in the
in this sector. I don't even know. Like he's like, so those are the four things we look at. Do you guys remember the four things? I'll link this video
no,
in the description.
I don't.
Do you guys remember the four things that he was talking about? Because I still have no idea what are the four key dimensions of the future of work.
Fascinating to me, and I think of it.
What a bootlicker.
Emerging in front of us. Or we can become really excited
George Jetson a little bit.
Engaged in it. And this whole concept you use the word experimentation.
Yeah.
You know, I love that word because
the guy
no
works
one knows
for GM.
What the future is going to look like. We can
Kelly's from here, right?
Yeah, I was going to say.
Yeah, they had that giant building off 75 in Troy.
Oh,
I'm pretty sure.
That guy live here?
Yes.
Might be. He's probably a listener, Trudy. Good job making fun of him.
Oh, holy crap.
You can see the background. I'm pretty confident that this is on I-75.
I'm pretty confident that we just missed nothing talking over it, by the way.
No, nothing.
And this would be like my hand would just subconsciously go down to my pocket, and I would just get out my phone and just be like, here we go, another meeting, boys. I can feel myself. I can feel that happening to me right now. Don't click off the video because it's boring. Just give me a second.
As we continue to experiment with the future of work,
and new configurations, you know, this becomes incredibly exciting. And I think we can engage with our workforce in a whole different manner because they too get bored pretty quickly whenever they get
wrapped into something. This video.
Thinking about all these new dynamics, it could be an incredibly fascinating, rich set of possibilities.
I still have no idea what the fuck any of them are talking about. Do you guys have any idea what they're talking
no.
about? I've watched this video 3 times and I have no idea. This one is a minute and 25 and I've watched this like 4 times. I have no idea what they're talking about. Unplugging the talent machine. What? Okay, here we go. Here we go.
Unplugging the talent machine. What?
Opinion. What is the most important thing that talent leaders?
Let's run it again. Run it again. Let's go.
To prepare themselves.
Okay, hold on. Look, whenever I talk about Rachel and HR about how we need to prepare ourselves for the organizational needs in order to meet these new dynamic experimentations for our future workforce, this is who I'm talking about.
For the future of talent strategies and how talent
holy shit, I didn't even know she was going to say that.
You know, so we think like super tankers. We think like, whoa, here's the competency model and here's, you know, here's the person, the profile, the person that works inside of this organization. I think that is no longer the reality. We need to be at least bimodal.
He's got really weird hair.
You know, we need to think about, you know, who are the people that can work in these small teams really, really well and, you know, deeply skilled in some technical aspect, but can work with the team and get stuff done fast. And then most importantly, again, I believe, who are the bridge people?
I
how do you
know.
Connect these small teams? How do you connect
okay.
to these agile, nimble?
Right. Wow. What the fuck?
Explain in 11 seconds what they just said.
I have no idea.
The workplace is changing and they need to change too.
Buzzwords.
What happened to the good old bosses that would just say things like,
so I'm going to need one of you guys to head over there pronto, head this thing up. Preferably not a woman. I want somebody with some fucking balls.
I'm a businessman. That's what I'm supposed to do.
Or get in the fucking truck. Get in the fucking truck.
He had me like at Super Tankers, but then everything else just kind of melted away and I didn't know
this
what.
Is...
And I envisioned the whole thing as...
Are they listening to each other?
No.
They can't possibly be retaining what the other one's saying. Because I often wonder, you know, when I was seeing somebody's a director of diversity and somebody was the, you know, director. I'm like, what do they do all day? How do you fill up the day?
So, you know, I'm a firm believer in politicians just do whatever they do to keep their own job going.
Yeah.
Like, they don't really care about anybody else.
Is
that what HR people do? Are they creating buzzwords to kind of justify that?
Well, I think what this specific thing is, because I've had to watch a ton of them, this is where a company pretty much rolls out a series of videos, and then you're required to watch them, and it's part of your quote-unquote training for the year. And then sometimes that training, if you complete these videos, maybe a bonus or something is attached to it.
Oh, really?
Okay, but doesn't that defeat...
Bonus?
Aren't they talking over our heads, though? Aren't they trying to be not understood so that we think, oh, my God, look at all the shit they know.
That's what I was going to say. You know how like a lot of legalese is written so only lawyers can understand
sure.
it? I think that is happening now in the higher levels of HR. It's a lot of buzzwords that only they care about and they understand because people get bored with it.
I wondered about them being all excited about all the change in the workplace and stuff like that. How many people are excited about things that change at work? Because usually it means bad shit's going to happen.
Change can be good.
For some people.
Either means bad shit's going to happen or bad shit's happening right now.
Change is coming whether you like it or not.
See, you feel good when she says that?
If I had to think of it, let's see, what was the biggest change?
You want me to change? Fuck you!
Right?
We were at WRIF for 22 years, Trudy. What was the biggest change? I mean, if, like from...
The building, maybe?
Digital.
A macro aspect. I'm talking like the
Yeah, already. Jesus.
Well, digital. Also, I was going to say, yeah, we got a new building.
Mm-hmm. Management.
Management. Yeah, the bodies changed. And then, and also, in terms of generally for all the employees, like healthcare changed. It got shittier.
Yeah, you're
right. You had to pay more, and you got less.
Janet Jackson showed her nipple. That changed things.
Yes.
Well, that changed our job. But... Yeah, I mean, even talking about these people is—it's insanely boring.
Automation really has kind of changed over the years.
Well, I'm not saying that nothing changes or that no one has to do what they do, but how do they spend? Can you imagine going to
an HR convention? Oh my God, I'd shoot myself in the head.
It would be. I don't know how people do it. I really don't.
No one would notice too, because they'd all be asleep.
Yeah, I don't know how they stay awake. I mean, those people look really pumped up and they're really geeked for this. And
they must party like motherfuckers.
Yeah, I would expect that they have to drink themselves to blackout every night. I mean, if they don't, I'm impressed.
You know what's funny?
I'm not alleging anything.
The guy doing the video when he's talking about a meeting and pulling out his phone, I never understood smartwatches. You know, people that have smartwatches. Because I'm like, what's so hard about just pulling out your phone and looking at it? And everybody.
So people knows you pulled out your phone.
Yeah.
Well, everybody I know that has one, they're like, well, I have to do a lot of meetings at work. And so they can get texts and emails while they're sitting there because they're not allowed to have their phone out during a meeting.
Right, yeah.
But now that everybody knows you have a smartwatch, you're looking at that and reading tweets and texts.
Yeah, I'm in a meeting right now, so I can't talk.
And since we're talking about important trends, there are a couple of trends I just want to bring up. And one is, I said this the other day, and I think I'm being proven right, that face tattoos are going to become not normalized, but more normalized, much more normalized. Because since we were talking about Cindy Crawford's...
They look ridiculous. Get rid of them, why don't you?
Cindy Crawford's son got a face tattoo, which is stupid.
Yeah. Well, yeah, fuck you. You don't understand it. Isn't that his response?
You don't get it. And then since then...
He's gaslighting you.
Amber Rose? Did you see her face tattoo?
Yeah, and did you see her boyfriend's?
Who's her boyfriend?
Oh, I don't know who he is, but he got a face tattoo, too.
Oh, what's his? Is his Bash and Slash?
Yes.
No.
They both got the same one?
No. She got... Does he? Yeah, he just has their birth dates.
She got Bash and Slash. Her kids are Sebastian and Slash.
And it looks so stupid.
On her forehead. Boom. And then he got the birth dates on his forehead. He's already got a teardrop tattoo. I don't know if he killed somebody in prison.
Okay, he can't see that, though. We see it all the time. I don't care about Bash and Slash's birth date. I don't want to see that every time I look at him.
And he can only do her doggy style now because he's going to be thinking about his kids while he's banging her face to face.
I don't know.
Am I right, Trudy?
Kind of a buzzkill.
Yeah.
And she's only thinking about giving birth.
I know.
Which is what she's doing when they have sex. She's reproducing.
And if she goes down on him and he looks at her, she'll be like, oh, my kids. Oh, boy.
And then Chris Brown got a giant tennis shoe on his cheek, a Jordan shoe.
Nice.
So, one question I have about face tattoos and really about tattoos in general is I feel like these people got them for themselves. They're not thinking, because I always, I thought, and
it's very personal.
This is probably crazy of me, but I think for a long time I thought that people were getting tattoos to get hotter. Because you don't do things to yourself. You don't get a new hairstyle. You don't get a new hair color. You don't lose weight because you want to be hotter. Pretty much. Really? Aren't you trying to be a better you, a hotter you?
Yeah, for sure. Absolutely.
I'm sure I'm simplifying it, but.
Oh, I don't know, though. I could look great with really long hair. I'll never know, though, because I hate the maintenance of it. So I like having a short haircut.
But tattoos are permanent. They're always there. They're there forever. And they're for everyone else because they see them all the time. And so I assume that you were trying to get hotter by doing it. And then I see that, you know, if you look at Matt had a friend.
Why come you don't have a tattoo?
Matt had a friend in from out of town, and we absolutely laughed uproariously because he was on one of the dating sites.
Oh, yeah.
And so he was going through all the women because he landed in Detroit, so there were new chicks available suddenly. So we're checking them all out, going, yeah, look at her. And, I don't like her. I do like her, you know. And he's only going to be there for 2 days. I mean, it was ridiculous, but it was fun. And I don't know. I guess I thought these face tattoos, though, they're getting them for themselves. It's not for other people. People aren't going to go, oh, no. Man, Chris is so much hotter with that shoe on his cheek. I mean, I think it's kind of the opposite.
And Brownie, you're doing
well right now.
Aren't tattoos really for yourself? Isn't it for you?
Yes.
I understood Mike Tyson's tattoo. He looked fierce with that. But some of these are just, you're right.
I would agree. I think Mike Tyson's face tattoo.
Audience for two or...
Yeah, tattoo for one. You.
I want to eat his children.
And Mike Tyson's tattoo, it grew on me. I actually think it fits him more than possibly any tattoo I've ever seen in anyone.
I wish one of you guys had children so I could kick them in the fucking head or stomp on their testicles.
You don't think those...
Testicles. I love the way he says that.
Testicles.
You don't think those tattoos fit... who is it? Amber? What's her name?
Amber Rose. I think it's stupid. It's like, I don't want to think about her kids every time I see her.
Well, all the proof I need...
I don't care about her kids.
All I need...
I don't care about her.
Here's the only proof I need about tattoos being for people that get them.
And there's some other stuff. Oh, wait a second. Look at this.
Yeah.
Is that new?
Relatively.
All right, what the hell is that? Why is one eye closed? What is all that?
Larry.
Oh, well, it's kind of personal. I don't share it with everybody.
Yeah, it's very personal.
The whole world can see it, but the person
it's on my
Okay, okay. Hey, let me ask you something, okay? If I walked in here with a horn on my head, would you say, what are you doing with your horn on your head? I'd say, oh, I can't tell you. It's personal.
I got the tattoo because of an event in my life, and it means something special to me. It's a reminder of that to me. It's just for me.
Really? And why didn't you put it on your ass?
The other one is face tattoos. Okay, I truly think they're going to be... I'm not trying to pull a Mike Clark gold ties, blue shirt thing. Because that was... I mean, that's everybody. Sure. But I think finally we're seeing more face tattoos. I would have thought that when they started happening, you'd see less of them and people go, oh, I got to get rid of this thing. And they would erase it. But no, I think we're going to see more. And then the other thing, and this is just a question, are man buns... are guys hotter with a man bun? Do some people think, oh my God, he's got a man bun. That's so hot.
I think man buns are over, though.
What? No, Russell Wilson just got one, an NFL quarterback.
That's what I told you. I thought they died a couple of years ago.
Really, I'm not really the arbiter of fashion, over, so I wouldn't know.
Then Jake Chapman came out of left field, and he got one like a couple months ago.
I forgot about that.
It depends on the wearer. It depends on the wearer. I mean, really? There's some hot guys who can pull
who
that off.
Who did you go, oh, my God, he's hotter with a man bun? Who? Name one.
Let's see. What's
a basketball player for Houston, the Houston Cougars.
That was terrible.
Yeah, but that's the only thing you remember about him.
Jared Leto, I think.
Really?
Because he's weird enough and everybody sort of expects him.
He'd be hot bald.
Yeah, he would.
I don't know.
Chicks dig him.
Is
Chicks
he hotter because of the man bun is Drew's question, though.
He's weird.
Hotter because...
he's weird.
No, I don't really think man buns do a lot. And you know what? People with long Jesus hair, too. There's a guy at the gym that was wearing this beautiful
with the matching hair. Beard.
And I think he's somewhat, maybe, if I'm speculating about him from the outside, gets off on the idea that he has beautiful girl hair.
Oh, Jesus
Christ. That looks very pretty. And there's some part of him likes that.
Can you tell me, just quickly name a few people who are really cool people. I mean, like, I'm trying to think of somebody who we all think is cool. I know Brad Pitt's cool, isn't he?
Yeah, he's great.
Did he ever have a man bun?
Uh-huh.
He did, didn't he?
Yeah.
He did.
Oh, yeah, because he's boho.
So did Leo.
See, that's a ponytail.
Leo had a man bun?
Well, yeah, so did Orlando Bloom.
Mark's right. This is more like a pony.
I thought Orlando Bloom looked ridiculous. I don't know why. I just did. Leo.
Well, he doesn't
ridiculous.
Care because he is a bit crank, and he doesn't really care. So he's.
See, Leo character. Is so. Leo just has it so together that I feel like it takes away from.
No, this is true. All these dudes are hot, so it doesn't matter what they're doing with their hair.
Well, that's true.
I have something to admit.
What?
You had a bit. You had a man bun.
My mom was an innovator of hair, and when I was younger, you know, basically she said, you're going to have a mullet. You're going to have a rat tail. And I didn't. I was just like, whatever. It's just my hair.
Yeah. You know what's funny about that? You see a lot of little kids like, why does that kid have a rat tail? And it's the mom. It's the mom's rat tail. It's not the kid's rat tail.
I didn't care about my hair. And at one point in middle school, this is around my fat stage, I had really long hair. And then my mom was watching Home Improvement. You know, Tool Time and all that stuff. And the oldest kid, Brad, and he had kind of a ponytail thing. And so she wanted me
is
to
that the gay
that.
Guy?
No, that's... that.
Wow. What?
Isn't one of them... not that I care, but isn't maybe one of the Tool Time kids gay?
Maybe the youngest, but I don't know.
Yeah. Michael Taylor Thomas
Jonathan
or Thomas Taylor Michael or
no,
Taylor
Jonathan
Michael
Taylor.
Thomas?
One of them got weird, though, right? Didn't they marry like a woman who was 50 years older?
I think that was the youngest one, yeah.
Yeah.
But you see...
50 years older, wow.
Oh, I see. Yeah, okay.
So I kind of had this thing where my sides were
that
shaved.
Looks so stupid!
And then...
I thought it was a chick for a second.
His mullet looks pretty sweet, though, in that other thing.
I'm pretty sure...
Oh, my God.
I'm pretty sure all of my haircuts throughout my youth were based on Brad from Home Improvement.
Really? That's interesting. Your mom got your hairstyle from Home Improvement.
And how long did you have a man bun?
It was more of a pony, but I would say probably, I don't know, 3 months.
Did it help at school? Did people think you were cooler?
Actually, it might have been during the summer. I don't recall doing it at school.
Maybe that's why I pulled all those chicks in seventh grade.
Right. Could be. No, I was thinking that would have been pretty forward thinking for a kid that age.
Well, I mean,
even though it was his mom's idea.
What's that character's name?
Did your mom make you do it? Are you saying that your mom, you didn't have any choice?
Well, I'm sure she asked me, but I didn't care. I was like, you know, whatever, I don't care what my hair does. It wasn't until sometime around seventh or eighth grade when someone told me, like, why do you wear stupid clothes?
Let's have a vote. How many people vote that Brandon liked the man bun?
I think he might have.
You're okay.
It's
it's a fact.
Well, that's not fair.
No, you did, because you were old enough to say, fuck, I'm not getting a man bun. That's stupid.
It was 93, you know? What are you supposed to
do? How old were you?
I don't know. Actually, it was probably 96 or 7. I was probably 12, 13, 14.
Okay. He was old enough to turn down a man bun, wasn't he?
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. I mean, I think you're kind of going to go along with what?
I can't see myself as a 12-year-old allowing a man bun on my head. It's my head.
Yeah.
Zeus used to kind of have a little bit of a mullet, and he's shamed me to this day.
Everybody had a mullet.
Yeah, that was
let that happen.
Zeus.
Wait, you made him have a mullet?
I didn't make him have a mullet. I don't know.
Look.
He got his hair cut, and that's how it came out.
I guess mom do knows best.
That one like hair it? Don't hide that red neck, boy.
Are you saying you liked his mullet?
It was okay. I didn't realize it was a mullet until...
Did you encourage it?
You don't like my hair, do you?
He's shaking his head.
What's
like,
wrong with... Oh, you did?
What's
really?
Wrong with mullets?
He didn't know what a mullet
bad.
Was. He was a kid.
Well, no, you're right, Brandon. They were fine then.
Right.
Like, people think they're a little dated now.
But I remember at the time...
I couldn't care less.
That pony was pretty innovative. There weren't a lot of dudes walking
See,
out
I knew you liked it.
With a pony.
And the actor, by the way, the other kid, he was 17 when he married a woman 16 years older than him.
Oh. 17.
Oh, just go back to it. Yeah,
my mom made me go to an Oscar Mayer Wiener commercial audition with
what?
That with that pony.
Oh, well, she knew what she was doing,
and I didn't get the job.
What?
Were you rocking it at the audition though? I think you had a little jump in your step.
I don't think
AKA
so.
AKA my wiener.
I wasn't really interested in this thing, and plus, all the other kids were like 4, 5, 6, 7, and 8, and I was like 13. So it was really kind of embarrassing.
That's what you're useful
at. Cool mushroom tip.
You might have been a mentor to those littler actors.
A mentor.
Yeah. We drove out to like Troy and had to wait in this huge line. We were just queued up waiting and waiting and waiting.
Ugh.
And finally, they just said, okay, sing the Oscar Mayer Wiener song while they filmed me with this stupid ponytail.
Oh, boy.
Oh, cool.
I want to see that video.
Are you fully erect?
No, I wasn't, but I was in line for like an hour and a half for like a 15-second audition, and they kicked my ass out the door.
Oh. Are you more than 7 inches?
But I think Mom picked up McDonald's on the way home, so it was worth it.
So you could play the Monopoly game.
Yeah, so I could play Monopoly.
I know that talent agency. I'm going to requisition that video.
Please do.
Free information.
It exists somewhere, but I'm pretty sure it was a nationwide event, and I think, seriously, like 20,000 kids tried out for it, and maybe a handful won, and my ass certainly didn't, because I remember when the commercial came out, I was like, I'm like 10 years older than all these kids that they picked.
Do you think it was fake? Do you think that whole search was a fake thing? And
what,
they
child molestation people were running it?
I have no idea.
Maybe.
Get but this my old mom, kid out of here. What the fuck?
My mom promised me the Wienermobile would be there. It wasn't there.
Hot.
But they did give me a little Wienermobile, like, micro machine car or whatever, so I still have that in my basement.
Sounds like it was a win-win to me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Your mom got her.
I
right.
want to see your wiener.
Mobile.
Okay.
Oh, I ate my share of wieners that day.
Well,
wiener, what a great word.
I tell you, there's some very interesting. This Celine thing has gotten so big. It is just, first of all, a guy says something at a meeting, and I didn't really know. I thought this is just. Guy just spewing something out, which he did, and it was, I mean, what a fucking moron.
Asshole.
I mean, he's such an asshole. And it turns out he does it. It's something he specializes in, trolling meetings.
Specializes.
Ooh, aren't you cool? So this spa spurns because Celine suddenly is on the map. It's a racist town. It has racist people, and horrible things happen at meetings, and people say terrible things. And yeah, so they have this
all the time there.
You're a carpenter's dream. You're flat as a board and easy to screw.
That was
that's
one of
great
the city
for
council
Springer
meetings.
That's great for the Springer crowd, isn't it?
Well,
it's perfect.
We did that.
The two work so well.
What did he use to put that tattoo on your butt? A needle or a paintbrush?
Anyway,
Celine
has their diversity, let's see, a rally for diversity a few days after this. 250 people come. All the local TV stations from Detroit covered it. There were other TV stations there. There were tons of media. And
did you see who's going to be there in a few days?
Who?
Mitch.
Oh, that's right. Yes, Mitch is spending time.
Mitch will make it better.
I'm going to take care of it. Can that heckler go heckle me?
Hey, Mitch!
Why don't you use your evil powers for good?
I'm just going to get I'm going to sort of whittle it down to the bones and
translate it for the rest of you in my column on Sunday.
You go to hell!
Probably about 6 weeks after the event happened. You've already forgotten about it.
6 weeks after the event. Exactly. Par for the course.
So anyway, they have this big meeting, and I, you know what I missed was I was so stuck on what the guy said and how he just blurted it out, mm-hmm. and also how the people responded so quickly, because I picture myself in the room, and I know I wouldn't have just immediately gone, I'm sure I would have gone, I would have just sunk in my chair, rolled my eyes, not because I'm not outraged or outraged enough. It just would have, I would have been cringy. It would have just felt really cringy.
I think I would have.
Yeah, I think you have a heightened sense of that, though.
Like, what an asshole.
What an asshole.
What an asshole.
And anyway, at least.
And then I would have been urging that black guy that was really mad to beat him up.
It becomes.
I thought that guy was going to beat him up. He should have.
It becomes national news. And so they have to have a meet. You know, like, we're not taking this sitting down. We're having a meeting, a rally for diversity, which is really weird. A rally for diversity. I mean, there are floats or what? You know, I know they mean well. I'm not saying that anybody is doing a bad thing here.
Isn't it just show that Celine is not that guy? Isn't that really what it's about?
Pretty much.
Since the news nationwide, like you said, is about Celine and.
But the meeting was about. People saying racist things on Snapchat. So it's like, wait, he said that at that meeting? I didn't even know that was what the meeting was about. Yeah. I was so caught up in the,
In his speech earlier, when he had the microphone, I think it was before he did that, he was saying something like, this is a school issue. Why are we having this meeting? This is an issue that should be handled in school.
Well, now school. It's quite the opposite happening, because they suspended 4 students.
What?
Yeah, they suspended 4 students for saying, in this particular case, from what I read, it sounds like, I'm not joking, this is just so stupid. There's a bunch of people in a chat who go to Celine High. Mm-hmm. Is it Celine High? It's Celine High, right?
Yes.
Michael? Okay. And this African-American kid, as a joke, said, let's all say the N-word to combat racism.
Okay.
No, it doesn't make any sense. These are 15-year-olds, okay?
They also had new members that were introduced to the group, with one individual posting, my N-word, followed by another one who would write, sup, N-word. Then the group was also changed to racist with 2 gorilla emojis.
Ooh.
Oh!
You need to go!
They then, also had posts that said, white power in the South arise again.
Oh, come on.
I think they're being.
It's too easy.
They're acting like 15-year-olds. Mm-hmm. Unless this is a white nationalist group that's budding, I don't know. I really don't know.
Maybe
they're
out of that.
Maybe they're. So anyway, this black guy says, hey, let's all combat racism by saying the N-word. I assume he meant it as a joke because he's black and it's a stupid group and they're saying silly things. So 4 people then type the N-word.
Oh, good for them.
And
having no independent thought.
Or they did a video. Yeah.
Shortly afterwards. Oh, was it a video? Oh, it was
that's
a video
Snapchat
chat.
Is,
right,
yeah.
right. So they all say the N-word. So then they all disappear, and someone else comes into the chat a little later and sees this and reports it because he was offended.
Wait. I thought Instagram was supposed to go away after like 5 seconds.
Snapchat.
Oh, Snapchat.
Why did that? Why didn't it go away?
I don't. If you have it on your story, maybe it can stay for, I don't know, what, a day? I'm not sure of the ins and outs.
Okay, well, we know that someone came in not knowing any context at all and saw it.
To that point, there were some black kids that left the Snapchat conversation, and I guess when they leave, their messages get deleted.
Okay. I don't know. You know, I don't want to get into the ins and outs of Snapchat. The point is.
So it made it look like the remaining people who were in the room still were.
Yeah, and I don't know why the people left. Maybe they were mad. So anyway, this guy reports it to the principal, and one of the kids who was in there who said the N-word said, hey, man, I'm sorry. That was a joke. That wasn't, you know, and the guy said, well, I forgot what his comment was. He had some really heavy comment.
Could it be, how many times do we have to tell you it's not
the guy? The other guy says, I knew it was a joke, but you can't fuck around like that.
Wait,
so,
who said that?
The guy who turned him in.
Oh.
And
goodbye, fucking shit fuel.
Anyway, this is where it gets a little weird to me, and I don't know. This is only what I'm reading in the Detroit Free Press. One of the students was questioned by a police officer and told he was under criminal investigation, And he says he was not notified of his legal rights, and his parents are angry because they weren't notified.
Criminal investigation.
I don't know. What's the crime? Hate crime? I don't know.
What's the crime, though?
I don't know. I don't know.
Free speech.
So they suspended.
Well, no, you're right, Trudy.
The four kids are suspended. The African-American guy who asked him to say the name was not suspended.
I should be back in school.
They had the rally for diversity. 250 people showed up. It was covered extensively. And then they had a school board meeting Tuesday night because of all the backlash. And students attended. And after the school board got done, the students waited 3 hours to give their list of demands.
What?
Yes. The students had a list of demands. It's a long list. It's a very side long, note. long list.
Side note. I'm getting sick of people's list of demands.
I know.
And manifestos.
It's weird. You know what I try to do? I try to put myself in the mind of a 15-year-old, and when I was 15, I wouldn't give a fuck about any of this stuff. Not because I'm white, or I just didn't. I had other things I care about. Bong hits. And, the stuff that I liked, and I wasn't all hung up on this, and maybe that's a terrible flaw in me, and I acknowledge and I apologize for it. I apologize for my...
Oh, you weren't too deep.
Here's Drew
my
back.
My fun here's, privilege.
Here's Drew back in, back then.
You need to loosen up. Have a beer.
Exactly. Something like that. Anyway,
I use the lotion on myself a lot at home.
I promise you, and I'm not,
I'm just kidding. Here's Drew at that age.
It's a good thing you have a nice rat, because you sure are boring to talk to.
Not being part of a group that was offended, my feeling is that I wouldn't have been involved in making a list of demands no matter what group I was in, but maybe I would have been if I had been part of the offended group. I'll say that just to make everybody feel
that time of the month, huh?
But the list of demands are, they demand diversity training, diversity itself, they demand diversity in the school staff.
Wait, all those three are one thing.
Diversity training, diversity in the staff is all the same thing.
Yeah,
but here's the problem with it. I think that school's striving to do that anyway, aren't they? The best they could. It's like when Michigan got sued for affirmative action. Like, what? That school wants that.
Yeah. What else? I'm sorry. What after diversity?
Well, those are the ones they mentioned on Channel 7 last night. I didn't see the list anywhere, but Channel 7 tried to interview the...
Wait, the school didn't do anything, though.
I know the school didn't do anything.
So why didn't they have these demands before the Snapchat thing?
This is, I guess, part of the response to it.
But do you see what I mean? If that was the issue, it's a separate issue. I'm starting to sound like that guy. This is a school issue. It's a separate issue.
Well,
from
the
that.
Four students are suing the school now.
I think they have.
And
a
they're
good
saying
case.
That I didn't do anything at school. My, I was at home, and the parents are saying, when my kid's not in school, I will discipline him. It's not your job to discipline my kid when they're doing something at home.
It's a public school. I think they have a pretty good case, right?
Well, they do, except...
They mentioned the policy in their... Do you see their policy in the for the Saline area schools?
I did not.
Misconduct occurring outside the school may also be disciplined if it interferes with the school environment. Talk about a vague rule. So what they're saying is because they had all these racist comments on that Snapchat, it's affecting what's going on in school.
Well, the lawsuit says that the kids, first of all, they're livid that the parents were not notified and that this kid had to talk to the police without his parents, having any of this explained to him. And the four kids have been alienated and stigmatized. And apparently they're having a tough time at school because of this.
Stigmatized? And, oh, no.
The principal, I think it was a principal or maybe it was the head of the school board. Channel 7 was trying to interview them after this list of demands and the meeting broke up. And the reporter said that they ran away. They ran away from the camera.
Whoa.
So
they ran away from the camera. Then there's got to be audio or video of them running away, right?
They didn't show it. I truly want to
see that.
I thought the same thing. They did not show it. Is the list of demands anywhere?
I haven't seen it yet.
And the one kid who's in the story might be worth watching. The one kid, although it'll be a lot of thanks for listening to the podcast. The one kid, they quoted two kids who were at the meeting, and one of them said, I have a year left and I want change now. I don't want to wait. I want it now.
Oh, who was that kid?
I don't know.
He's so special.
He wants change now.
Everybody Why didn't he want change when change. He was a freshman?
I don't know. Maybe because the Snapchat conversation hadn't happened yet. I don't know. So,
can't change.
I think it's an interesting lawsuit. to be honest.
Oh, it's
because
fascinating.
You do have free speech.
Things have to change.
Free speech as far as the kids saying what they want. I mean, I always think, you know, when I think of the Constitution, I'm not generally thinking about a 14-year-old. Because I'm thinking that...
No, but there are consequences to your free speech and the school. I don't know. I think that
school is a little tricky.
I think that school's handbook
because
is a
you have
vague.
To go to school. You have to go to school.
Yeah, you can be homeschooled like those cops were, you know, people on Cops.
Yeah. And those kids are all doing great, by the way. These kids are getting straight A's. So, yeah, there's that. And I have another story that's kind of similar, but I thought we might as well get into the boner line.
Ooh, oh, okay.
Yeah.
Because we do have a boner line today, and the boner line is brought to you by our friends at Lover's Lane. And there's three ways to participate in all the activities at Lover's Lane. First of all, there's loverslane.com, 35 retail locations, and the all-new sexdrive.com for the hottest stuff even Cupid can't get his hands on. And the boner line number is 20966.
Boner time. Yeah.
Hey, guys. It's a boner flow.
Hey. Keep the farts coming. Everybody reacts to it. And they pretend they don't love it, but they do because everybody loves farts.
Low energy person.
Maybe it's just because I'm a millennial, but I also had no idea who the hell that incest band was or whatever you guys were talking about. You guys made no talk of maybe, I don't know, the Used.
Who are they?
Joining My Chemical Romance on their upcoming tour.
Who are they?
Or Garth Brooks playing at Ford Field coming up soon.
Who the fuck is that?
Drew, talking about NXS, you totally skipped the album Thieves Like Us, which came out before Kick and had the song What You Need. That was like their very first big hit.
Thank you for the information.
Just heard you guys talking about Rage Against the Machine, the last show 20 years ago. I was there.
Me too.
It was a great show. Met the singer that night. Also met the drummer that night. First time I saw those guys was 97. Wu-Tang Clan had finished their set. And they opened with People of the Sun, if I remember correctly.
I am non-braggadocious.
Audio separated at birth. It is Loretta's husband from the Google commercials, especially when he talks about scallops. And David Trump from the Jersey Turnpike.
Remember, Loretta loved going to Alaska and scallops.
I believe we're the third oldest turnpike in the nation.
Hey, Drew, it's Xavier Simpson with a Z, not X Xavier.
Why do you talk that way?
Last Mother's Day, I was driving. I'll skip the municipality, you know, because I know not all cops are bad. Pulled me over because I had a license plate frame for Pantera Reinventing the Steel that came with purchase of that CD. He pulled me over because he said it was slightly obstructing the word Michigan on my license plate.
Hey, bust his ass, officer!
Hey, you guys were talking about people's last words. I was thinking something along the lines of, I'm here for the gangbang.
Sorry you died.
Audio separated at birth. At 1 hour, 8 minutes, and 20 seconds in, we were doing the cops review. The lady who's getting taken off to jail sounds exactly like that old Roald Johnson cat, or whatever the hell that cat is.
Just give me a second.
I'm gonna kill you.
Oh my God, Drew. The burps. You gotta let it go, man. You're gonna have a heart attack. Simmer down about the burps. It's all right. I don't know where these burps come from. Everything's like burps.
Hey, I think I know a good sponsor you guys should go after. With all the farts and now all the burps, you might want to sponsor by Gas X.
Ha! Good one!
Hey, Drew!
Hey, it's a lady!
It's me!
Who's that broad?
Thank you for telling the throw-up story. So I think I combined the sawdust story and the party one. The party I met was, I think you were in fifth grade. It was the party of the century. Every child was going. And someone got sick and could not go to the party. I hope you're not triggered. Can you please tell that story, Drew?
That's another story.
Keep it safe. Wow. Since Drew's not down here, he won't be able to tell that story.
Oh, for God's sake.
Have to call again, ma'am.
Call number three.
I love that that guy called in just to brag about seeing Rage Against the Machine.
He actually, it was longer. I had to kind of cut it short. But yeah, he basically wanted to get through what they opened with since we asked what they would.
Oh.
It was
oh.
People of the Sun in 97. I just looked it up. Testifying 99.
Thanks for listening to the Boner Line.
No, I know, but he sounded like he was unsure of himself. I was backing him up.
He also told a story how he went from the nosebleeds all the way to, like, you know, try to get to the front row. And
At a Rage? Oh, my God. Yeah.
That Rage Against the Machine Wu-Tang concert, that's the one I've talked about it before, where I saw Wu-Tang, and there's like 13 guys on stage, and they each had a microphone, and you couldn't understand a word any of them were saying. Because they were all rapping all over each other.
Same time?
Yeah.
A musical view. The View.
Yeah, it was a great show. God, I love this band.
Yeah. You know, so you're getting ticks.
I put in the request.
Huh? Wait.
A lot of what? Who?
Here at the Red Shovel, you put in the request to...
Who's doing what?
To the promotions department? To get you...
Through our promotions department?
We used to do that. We'd ask the promotions department for tickets, and you'd sometimes get them. Those days are so...
I don't know. From what I heard, they're being really stingy on tickets because they know they're going to sell out.
This is all the dudes on the stage. All y'all gay.
So, D messages me today and says, she goes, "Want Stones tickets? We're going to go. Only thing is that there's $789 per ticket.
$780? Are we still talking about Rage?
No, now we're on to Stones. She just said Rolling Stones.
$780?
$700.
Who would pay $780?
Yeah, who would pay that little?
I bought four tickets.
Ben, hey, what row are you in?
Well, there were more than that.
What row are you in?
Never mind.
Oh. That's what you're
love you, Jagger.
I know someone who's in the same row as you.
You're in Podell's row.
I'm in Doug Podell's row?
Yeah.
Did he pay for his tickets?
Yes.
He did?
Yeah.
Nobody gets free tickets, huh? Nobody?
No, nobody. But Sue loves the Stones, and he's, you know, he's a sweet husband.
Oh, like Doug doesn't like the Stones.
Well, he does, too.
I was talking to my mom.
I've got a contest.
If you have erectile dysfunction,
you got ED.
Listen to the Doc of Rock and
stiffen up. WLLZ.
For Detroiters by Detroiters.
106.7.
I just want to make one thing official. Doug Podell is not doing Sue a favor by getting tickets to the Rolling Stones. He wants to go too.
Yes, he does.
Hi, guess you got a pretty small penis.
Oh. Shut no, he does. He really does.
I was talking to my mom today. She goes, Are you going to the Rolling Stones?
Does she want to go?
She loves the Stones.
Oh, my God.
And I said, no, I'm not going. I said, are you going to go? She goes, well, I don't have anyone to go with. I said, well, I'll take if you're paying.
Yeah.
Nice.
But she's got a friend. She's got a friend, I think, who will
she
go with
go to
her.
She want to go to Rage, too, and body surf?
Oh, my God. I'd love to take crowd her surf. To Rage. I wonder how
I do not want him coming out on stage unless he's hard.
No, women should never body. No, they should not surf.
Oh,
no,
because yeah,
you get everything
right.
Grabbed.
Oh, my God.
It's not a good thing.
Treat you like a bowling ball.
Well, on the subject
guys are creeps, man.
Of concerts, and I'm still.
Hey, by the way, I'm sorry to interrupt.
What?
But can we get, like, a tax sponsor to analyze whether I can take that $794?
No, you can't. Not anymore.
Oh, thanks, Trump.
Sorry. Yeah, I'm
Turney
still
looks genuinely balls. Bummed.
I'm still scratching my head.
I'm gonna do it.
Did I really spend that much money for a concert? I guess I did because I you know what I did. I'm like,
I remember when we raised hell over $100 for an Eagles ticket.
Yeah,
and the Eagles' defense was it includes parking. Which was probably $10 at the time. But remember that when the Eagles, the $100 tickets here.
Yeah.
Well, I hate the fucking Eagles, man.
Rage is $150.
Jesus Christ.
I was shocked by that.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, they'll sell them.
Sure,
don't you think?
I would have paid $300 a ticket for that show. So, joke's on you guys.
Yep, I'm going.
Rage.
It's a Monday night and I don't care. I'm going.
Did you buy your tickets yet?
Today, yeah.
How much were they?
They're all the...
Aren't there some of them more expensive? They've got
the ones we're trying to buy through.
Are they $150?
Media channels are $150 a piece.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, here's something I know you're all going to enjoy, and that is that the band 1975. Have you guys heard 1975?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, they had a huge hit.
I think they're pretty good, actually. I mean, they have songs I like.
Mm-hmm.
Not all of them,
What's their big hit? I don't know it.
I think it's this one.
Are they 1975 because they love classic rock? Why are they called that? I don't even know.
They're not born then.
No.
They're younger.
Something happened in 1975.
It's a great question. I have no idea why they're called 1975.
Sounds like it's got Billie Eilish influence so far.
Yes. It's the perfect music for her.
I don't know if this is the right one.
Soft.
They were born in the late 80s. So.
Why are they called that? Maybe there's somebody listening.
I thought they liked old music. I don't know. Maybe I'm crazy.
You know, there's someone listening that's furious.
Because they love 1975?
Oh, yeah.
I checked them out. I thought, I got to tell you, this is weird, but I saw the name and I was like, hey, that's a cool name. I like 1975. Musically speaking, I mean, there was a lot of shitty music too, but 70s music overall I like. I don't know. I think I'd prefer they were 1971.
Oh.
75.
It was 71 that was so.
Well, I could go through the list. Also, what's the year Led Zeppelin 4 came out? Was that 72 or 73? Yeah. There's some really good years in the 70s, I will read.
It came out in 71.
I've seen strings on Reddit, for example, where people are arguing over what the best music year is, and 65 is a beloved year, 67 is a beloved year. And people love arguing for 69 and 66. There's a lot of great years of music in that stretch.
94 is a good year.
So people just love arguing.
Well, yeah, people love talking about music.
Right.
So anyway, Matt Healy is the front man in 1975. And he is now revealed that he will not, 1975, will not play festivals that don't feature a high percentage of women and non-binary artists.
Oh, my God. He's so deep.
And it's being suggested that they want a Ben Affleck-like rider that will promise to have 50% of acts that are female and non-binary.
They're going
to
be playing as many festivals as Ben Affleck is in movies then. Right?
Now, what I want to know about this, and first of all, how diverse is the band itself?
That was the first thing I said. I'm not listening to them until they're diverse enough.
It's four guys.
Yeah.
And
four guys.
Is it four white guys?
Oh, even better, yeah.
It is four white guys.
I'm
going to
make a diversity demand list like Celine.
It's for all the dudes on the stage, all y'all gay.
If they're going to make a demand like this, I mean, they're essentially telling people that, listen, we don't really care about your commerce. We think that you have to do this. Then it seems to me that they should back it up themselves by saying, you know what? We don't care about how successful we are either. We think that having a diverse band is more important than our level of success.
Yeah.
And maybe we'll be better with two women.
Yes.
Shouldn't they?
Absolutely.
Really? They're not.
They should not hold people to a standard they're not willing to uphold themselves.
So what I'm trying to understand is the theory here. Is the theory that promoters are sexist, misogynist, and they select male performers because they are sexist and misogynist? Or is it that, look, it's only fair if they're making money first over fighting a wrong, then they shouldn't be booking concerts? Or is it that they'll make just as much with women acts, that if you put 50% women acts, you'll make just as much money, no matter how well-known they are or what have you? What are they? What is it that 1970, that Matt Healy is saying here? Because it's one of the three. Either the idea is that promoters are sexist and misogynist and they won't book women bands, or that they feel that it's only fair to do this and they should put righting this wrong over making money.
So,
or maybe they just want more dating opportunities in the bands that are on their tour.
Check your misogyny.
Apparently there's something called the Key Change Initiative. Do you know about this?
I don't.
Learned this because of the story. Where 45 music festivals have signed it to maintain a 50-50 gender balance in their lineups. But
starting when?
Starting now. They say by 2022. Now,
isn't that the
point? Maybe I'm a little cynical, but I'm kind of thinking that the front part of those shows or the second stage might be a little female.
No. Gotta be equal main stage and other stage.
Genre dependent though? I mean, if you want to go and rock out to some death metal and you go to a concert or maybe a hard rock
concert, have some female death metalers.
Like Rock on the Range, you're gonna see bands like In This Moment or, you know, back in the day.
Brandon, everyone is the same. There should be just as many death metalers, guys as girls.
Okay.
There's no difference in men and women.
Chicks can death metal.
Sure.
Out.
Well, then
50% of them. Then
I know. I just don't think there's as many bands, especially ones that are successful and get radio play.
And why is that? Isn't that because of some institutional sexism?
I think because some girls like, you know, singing pretty and
they're not singing like.
Well, to that point, then this should be good for people like James Blunt. They can get on, you know, maybe a
Lilith
Fair.
The female bill.
Yeah. Life is brilliant. Life is brilliant.
Well, the problem is that if you book 50%, and I'm assuming that, okay, if you're going to throw a bunch of women on the second stage, then I think that's bullshit. That's not the spirit of this.
Not
the spirit
the point
of this,
that.
No, that's not the spirit. And that's like putting a chick on the sideline saying, hey, we got a female on our team.
Yeah.
They didn't even have sideline reporters for a long time.
No,
I mean, that's not the job that somebody...
Let's run it again. Let's go.
That's not the job somebody who wants to succeed in sports broadcasting. That people don't go, I just want to be a sideline reporter. That's where all the action is. Mm-hmm. I want to be down on the field. No.
And it sucks for women that are actually good at it, too. You know, like Doris Burke's good, right?
Yeah, Doris Burke's good.
Yeah. But people are going to wonder, hey, did she get that job because she's a woman?
Yeah, I don't listen to women yelling. I tell them to shut up.
Yeah,
I know it's all.
It's tricky.
There's so much going on here, and I think sometimes when, you know, you see a Katie Sowers or you know the Chiefs hire a female, then all of a sudden people start going, well, what about this? And in this case, this is my personal opinion. Promoters want to make money.
Yep.
And I don't think they care if it's a guy band or a girl band.
Well,
I really don't.
Having this agreement to have it 50-50 on every festival, is that what's going to change it? I mean, doesn't it need to start earlier to get more girls into music?
Yes, I would say.
Because only 12% of songwriters, they say, are female, which I'm surprised it's that low.
The way it works now, you know, you don't have these people slogging through clubs for 5-6 years. I mean, people become stars on you. No, absolutely it should help. But I don't think that promoters, I really don't think they care.
No, they want to
make
money.
If it was a band of dogs that people wanted to go to,
I would pay money.
They would book them in a second. They want to make money.
Yeah.
So what if you book,
Band of dogs. That's a good band name, by the way.
Let's just say you have to go guy band, female band on the main stage. Cause isn't that the spirit of this?
Yes.
Then, you know, maybe people will sit through bands that are just booked for their gender and they'll go anyway because you generally it's the top of the bill that you care about, right?
Yes.
So I think you're absolutely right. I think what they're going to do is they're going to stuff a lot of female acts on the second stage and they're going to say, look what we did.
Mm-hmm. Or they're going to get Ariana Grande to play a lot of festivals or Beyonce to play. They're going to have to
Taylor
pay out.
Swift is a huge draw. There's a lot of female draws.
Hey, I got a surprise for you guys.
There's Band of Dogs.
Band of Dogs.
Dog band? Those are humans, though.
Man, I'm loving the dog show.
Oh, they're terrible.
There's no dogs playing.
This is a whole
anything.
Concert.
Well, it does sound like dogs playing.
Oh, that sucks.
This is awful.
That band is not part of this rider.
I listened to a podcast about this song.
Just this song?
Oh my God.
And the fascinating background of copyright claims to this song. It had been, there's about 7 different entities that could lay claim to the hook of this song.
Why? Canine, as they call, I call it a dog.
Probably because it's pretty simple. I'll download it for you. It's the podcast overall is called 99% Invisible, but the last episode is about who let the dogs out. It was really fascinating. I guess there's a whole documentary about it.
Huh?
You guys don't seem interested.
Ha.
Well, I'm interested.
That's fascinating.
I don't know if I'd listen to a podcast.
Oh, you're gonna love it.
I have too many podcasts to listen to already.
Yeah, I'm about NAMBLA.
You watch the Westminster?
Oh yeah, I've been watching it.
Gabby.
Not nonstop.
So
Gabby's seen Gabby this year. I don't know where Gabby is.
Oh, she's retired. She's a champ.
She
aged
studying.
Out.
She might be. I don't know.
Do they do
a
that?
A poodle one?
I don't know.
Is that?
There's a cool Papillon on there called Treasure, though.
The beautiful dog. Awesome.
I loved your picture with Layla.
Yeah, put that Layla. Cute. Layla was in a dog show too.
That dog, that one sucks. I'm just gonna say it. I'm sorry.
The poodle.
Sorry. Yeah, I think it's an.
Oh,
ugly
the poodle.
Dog.
I hate the
with
poodle.
The poodle
no,
with
it's
the
freaky
shade.
Looking. That poodle is satanic. With those that weird cut where it's like all of a sudden there's a big like
yeah,
it looks
yeah,
like
yeah.
a
yes.
hedge coming out of its leg.
It's got a stupid name too. Did you see the stupid name of that dog? Yeah.
Who voted for that dog?
Oh, you know. The...
Do you mean who voted for Stone Run Afternoon Tea?
Oh, that's no wow. dog, man. That's not a dog.
The talented dog.
Or Seba, for sure.
Sebum?
I think that I think this dog is ugly. I'm sorry. And it's culturally appropriating the Afro. It's human appropriation.
Total bullshit. That dog sucks.
Yeah, you know
it's
what?
It's an ugly dog. He's definitely
poodles,
doing that dog.
Poodles actually are cool when you don't do that shit to them. They look fairly normal.
I know, they look much better when they don't yeah. get all foofed up.
The first, and the hypohalogenic.
The first dog we had in my life was a poodle, and that dog was so fucking mean.
Oh, really?
Oh, Alfie.
Alfie?
Yeah.
Well, sounds fun.
Getting back to 1975 and Matt Healy. I don't know how much you guys read about it, but I didn't hear from any other band members quoted. Is it just Matt Healy that's demanding this?
He's the Jagger of the band.
What
He's
a concept.
Why does, seriously though, why are there not girls in his band? I really think that's a fair question.
Mm-hmm.
We should ask.
He should be asked.
Hit him up on social media and ask.
I think people were so excited that he's suggesting that this writer, that 1975 won't play without this writer, and people are saying, yeah, we'll do it. Why aren't there female directors nominated at the Oscars? Because all those people are going to do. And Natalie Portman, by the way?
Yes.
Didn't you say that she's made 9 movies since?
Three. She's directed 3. Oh.
No, she's been in 9 movies since she said, male directors. And only one is directed by a female. Why is she picking movies where the male is the director? Kind of interesting, isn't it?
Those movies was a Marvel movie. It's so not diverse.
So Matt Healy from 1975, just last September, a year and 5 months ago,
yeah.
There was a story about him because he told his bandmates that if they wanted to be in the band, that he was going to keep smoking heroin and fuck you because all the songs come from him and everybody get on board because I'm the fucking main deal.
Wow.
If you want songs, get on with it.
Sounds like a fun guy to work with.
They had played a festival in July, and apparently the band busted him smoking heroin.
King in the castle. Go do this.
He was not supposed to be doing heroin anymore. They had apparently intervened on him before. So what was supposed to be a celebratory festival became an intervention.
Oh, boy.
And then in September, 2 months later, he said, I'm smoking heroin. Fuck you. I make the hits.
That's the way you got to be, I guess.
Kind of appreciate that.
And then... he changed his mind.
What?
Yeah.
He's wishy-washy.
And this is an interesting statement, too. The next morning, he said, I felt really bad about what I said, and I went straight to rehab, and I've been clean ever since. And he also is quoted as saying, I just love this quote, people had started to lose respect for me, but not an irredeemable amount. Wait. How is he so smart that he can measure respect 100% lost versus respect that is redeemable? I mean, doesn't this guy sound too smart for his own good? Who says were starting to lose respect, but not in an irredeemable way? How does he know that? How does he measure all these things?
He is the son of two famous British actors.
Oh!
Ew.
Well, we'll see how that works out. 2022, I guess they need 2 years. To figure out how to make half the band's female and non-binary. It takes 2 years. It's kind of like figuring out how to let people have the rights to their image by the NCAA, which that's going to take till 2023, I think,
why
right?
Why is that taking so long?
There's no reason in the world.
Wasn't this their big song?
This kind of sounds very Maroon 5-y.
Yeah, I think they... Jordy, I'm not joking. I think they opened for them.
Ooh, what? Isn't the idea to... Oh, maybe they want to... Isn't the idea to have a band that's somewhat dissimilar?
Softer than you? Oh, you would think.
So it's...
Hey, on the subject of music, I have a question.
I know nothing.
What happened to the good R&B bands? Who are the... I mean,
Chris Brown?
Who? I don't like Chris Brown.
What?
I mean, what happened to the like, who would be the modern OJs or the modern
Boyz II
Men? Stevie Wonder?
Yeah,
those are boy bands.
Boyz II Men?
We should just men, be men.
Men, boy, they're men just slash men boy now. Band.
Oh, like the Beatles. I think.
No, not like the Beatles.
So you're saying like who's...
no, I mean R&B. I'm who's talking about today's R&B, Earth, like Smokey Wind, Robinson.
Fire. Brian McKnight Earth, and Kobe Bryant.
Okay, Brian McKnight. I was thinking Bruno Mars, maybe.
I was going to say Bruno Mars.
I mean, that's the one guy that comes to mind, but...
He's poppy.
The reason it got me going is because that commercial keeps coming on, that Nikki Costa song, Everybody Got That Something. You know that song? It was in All About Steven, or All About Steve, the Bradley Cooper movie with Sandra Bullock as a nutcase. Yeah. It's a stupid, funny movie. I actually laughed a few times, and I thought it was silly. It was just like silly fun if you're looking for a dumb movie to watch. It's kind of fun. And at the end, the credits are playing, and that song is on. I'm going, God, what is that song? That must be from the 70s. It sounds like a good R&B kind of 70s lick. Uh-huh. Crank it up.
What's it called?
I don't even know who Nikki Costa is. Everybody Got That Something by Nikki Costa.
Something.
You'll know it. As soon as you hear it, you'll go, oh, the commercial. Is it T-Mobile?
Oh, yeah, cool.
This commercial plays all the time now.
I could dig it.
Nikki Costa, N-I-K-K-A.
Is it Nikki?
Nika.
Nika Costa?
Yeah! That's pretty hot. Why don't they get her on that festival in 1975?
Maybe they will.
I and the Family Stone derivative.
But I immediately start going, wait, I know this song. It's another song. Does this sound familiar?
It does.
Well, I thought immediately of Bowie, of Changes. The dun, 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 dun,
dun, dun. You would not believe the amount of TV shows and movies the song has been in.
Oh, has it?
Yeah. The song. Did you read about the song?
Yeah, I did.
So you know what it samples?
Oh. This song samples?
Yeah.
Does it sample Sly Stone?
Sly Stone.
I Dig Love by George Harrison.
Oh, really? That's why it resonates with you.
Oh, no, you possible. Know what? I'm sorry. It's a different song.
I was going to say, I don't hear I Dig Love.
It's another one of her singles.
I love I Dig Love, but it's from All Things Must Pass.
This is a way of you to get this back to the Beatles, huh?
No.
You're very skillful.
No, not in the least. Sly Stone, If You Want Me to Stay.
Dun, 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 dun. Yeah, that's what the beginning sounds like to me, too. He should get a writing credit. Everybody got that something.
I don't hear it.
Huh.
Yeah, okay, there we go. I was thinking Family Affair or...
Their bassist was so good.
Yeah, Larry Graham.
Yeah.
Larry Graham is on so many songs. Sly Stone is so grossly underrated.
Yeah.
He's pre-Prince Prince.
You want me to stay? I'll be around today. Available for you to see.
It's pretty close.
I agree. Go
and then you'll know. Make me stay. I got to be me. You'll never be in doubt. That's what it's all about.
Can't you remember the I was thinking when I was trying to think of what song it was. I started thinking about remember the Brothers Johnson?
Oh, no, but.
Brandon,
I'm open to hearing him.
I'll Be Good to You. Strawberry Letter 23? No? I'll Be Good to You?
I hate not knowing.
Willis Johnson?
But that means after the show, you can turn me on to it.
I feel like you'd heard it. They also had a song. Oh, God, what's that stupid song? Get the Funk Out of My Face.
Oh.
And I thought it was Get the Fuck Out of My Face. I mean, we all joked about it.
Right.
But I just don't. I guess R&B is it like this is just over more or less, kind of like rock and roll.
Was Gnarls Barkley in this category? Or?
Yeah, maybe.
Oh wow! You know what?
Timberlake's kind of R&B, isn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah,
kind of. I think
So many bands like this. I mean, the Brothers Johnson weren't even that
Justin
big.
Bieber's R&B. Yeah. Got the number one R&B song right now. Yummy. I'm looking at the R&B chart, and that's number one.
What else is on the R&B chart? I'm just curious.
Oh, hang on. I don't know what this is. Oh, I got to sign up for Billboard Pro.
Doesn't that suck?
Yeah, I'm not going to do that.
I know. That's exactly what I said. So I never look at Billboard anymore. Billboard 200 no longer exists.
I used to like when they came to the radio station, and it was just a free-for-all. You just grabbed all your trades.
All the jobs are in there.
Yeah.
So it's interesting. They seem to combine R&B a lot with hip-hop. Like, that's just the...
Well, there's probably not enough R&B to make up an R&B chart. crank up the hook, man. I don't know what happened to the Brothers Johnson either.
I don't remember, but that has to be a Chicago versus, you know,
Philadelphia
Ohio
Soul.
Thing. Yeah. CKLW was always the Spinners and the OJ.
Spinners, OJ?
Yeah. Well, that's a pretty funky guitar there. Oh, no, that's a keyboard.
Funky dog hit, bitch.
I think Strawberry Letter 23 is a big hit. But anyway, I don't know. I just heard that Nikki Costa, and it just, that spot plays all the time. It's amazing. Yeah. And I knew the song, but and I thought that was a 70s song. I think it's 2001, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
All right, before we wrap up, did we mention the Ohio State football rapists?
We have not mentioned that.
Alleged rapists?
Awful story.
Rape and kidnapping. They're both starters, I think. Senior starters?
Both seniors. I don't know if they started or what.
Allegedly, I should say that for legal purposes.
Did you read the particulars of the story?
I did, and honestly...
Pretty frightening.
I know. I'm just... These stories are wearing me out. There's so many of them between all the Me Too stuff and then the current stuff.
What happened?
They pinned her down.
It sounds like...
she was having consensual sex with one of the guys and was like, you know what? I don't want to do this anymore, and then...
The other one jumped
they
in.
They wanted to do, yeah, and held her head on his penis. And no, that's pretty gross.
Of course, it, you know, their accusations
right now. And then
they go
right on the football field, and they're all like heroes and stuff. It's a lot about guy clusters. Nice.
And between that and the mess at Michigan State, I mean, it's like, and then Penn State. And it's like the Big Ten is just going through this. It's just been a... I don't know, all these cluster fucks.
At least with Michigan, we just keep it with our provosts.
Mm-hmm. Provosts and music teachers.
That's right.
And doctors.
You're in the cult, bro!
And point guards.
And point guards.
Drew mentioned the provost earlier. I just went, who cares about provosts?
But that's the provost. No, it's true, though. It doesn't get any attention, does it?
You know what the worst part of that provost story was to me is how much he made.
What does he make?
He made $570,000 a year, and he's still getting paid right now. It's paid administrative leave, so that's cool.
Well, what's interesting about the story is that, you know, when I'm trying to think of the story that was so, people were so outraged, was the, well, Penn State is number one. Then you've got Urban Meyer and the wide receivers coach,
yeah,
who was, you know, supposedly beating up his wife or was beating up his wife in... I don't know what is that guy doing now? Whatever happened to him?
I don't know. He every once in a while he had a didn't he have a Twitter rage every once in a while.
Yeah, he does. He goes nuts on Twitter. Yeah. God, Aubrey Huff on Twitter. What is up with that guy?
Yeah, he's weird.
Fighting the good fight, man.
And here it comes. Swinging a bouncing ball to shortstop. First, Huff doesn't know where to go. He never goes to second base. The throw goes to first, not in time. Unbelievable. First, Huff acted as if he'd never even seen a big league game. The ground ball went to shortstop, and Aubrey, first Huff, never moved. Burris fielded it, hoping to start an inning-ending double play. Came up ready to throw to second, and there was nobody to throw it to first. Huff had just started by that time, and I'm just speechless about that one.
But I have to say, when that Provo story came out, it was like, they were interviewing the students on campus. We played on the show, didn't we? Because it was a real positive story. Yeah. Like, I'm so glad they've gotten in front of it and taken action, and it wasn't one of these, I can't believe people knew this and they didn't do anything. You know, Michigan State and Penn State, that's where it is. But today, more than 20 women have now made sexual conduct complaints against University of Michigan Provost Martin Filbert, some stretching back more than a decade, according to multiple sources. Not all the allegations were unknown to the university. Mm-hmm. At least three times over the years, complaints about Filbert's behavior were made to administrators at the school. One of those involved a lawsuit that was settled that contained allegations of Filbert and research in his lab having a physical relationship. And, I mean, there's just...
That was a guy who thought he was let go in favor of the girl that was having the alleged relationship with him.
Sexual harassment, various levels of sexual harassment. I mean, it's like the story goes on and on and on. It's like, you know, all these stories, they just details, 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 and they're all terrible.
He's described as a hugger.
But
for both men and women.
It's interesting that, you know, because it is, because what you said, oh, it's provost. Who cares about the provost? It's the same kind of story. They knew. they didn't do anything. When it's the wide receivers coach and the head football coach doesn't do anything, then it's like, oh, the head football coach didn't do anything. When it's the provost, though, nobody gives a fuck.
Don't you think they're a little different, though?
No.
You don't think Filbert's case is a little different than Zach Smith, where the police were called multiple times? He was beating the shit out of his wife.
You know, you can go in the weeds all you want, but the fact is that people knew about this and they didn't do enough. I mean, just because he's the provost, and
probably
maybe
a lot,
I'm not talking about apples
probably a
and
lot
oranges.
Harder to get rid of a provost than it is to not to re-sign Zach Smith when his contract was up.
Well,
or to bring him to a
you
new
can
school.
Defend Michigan all you want.
I'm not defending it. I don't like what this guy
it's
did.
It's the
but
same
I,
kind of story, though. People knew and they didn't do anything. So, you know, if it's one place, you know, they ought to be fired or they ought to be in prison or whatever. But when it's the provost, I really don't think people do care that much.
Something's going on and somebody's not telling me something.
This is the number two guy at the school, isn't he?
I don't know. What does the provost do?
I seriously don't know. When they said provost, I thought
the bursar.
They also had a doctor who was sending text messages to an 11-year-old.
Yeah.
And he was at UM Hospital and they sent him to what was it? They sent him to camp.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
Wait, not barriers. What's the word they used?
I can't remember. Boundaries.
Boundaries camp.
Boundaries camp.
Yeah, and put him back on the staff, and then he
was all good to go.
Was interested in another underage girl.
Oh no!
And he was fired. But in this case, and you know, now the details are starting to come out. I'm sure we'll hear more. But it's just it's outrageous. An interesting thing, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Everyone's outraged.
I haven't heard anybody. I swear to God, I've barely heard a word about the provost. I haven't really heard many people talking about it. But when it's Urban Meyer, you'll hear a zillion people talking about a football coach. If we can't count on a football coach to do something, well, are football coaches more? You expect a football coach to be more honest than a university president?
I do.
The guy at Michigan State,
because
too.
All the football coaches in movies are cool, and all the university presidents in movies are bad guys.
When he writes a book about leadership, and he writes in there about, you know, Christian values and all this stuff, yeah, I would expect him to be a little better.
Well,
when he's the highest
coach?
Urban Meyer?
A college football coach? They have no morals.
Okay. No,
very
I know.
Few. In my opinion, I would expect a university president or a provost to be above
no,
reproach.
All I said
or
is that.
Or a dean. I would think a dean would be a great. Now, who is it? Stemple at Michigan State?
When he writes a book, though, about it and gives speeches about it.
It doesn't make him any less guilty or any more guilty because he wrote a book. Of course, he wrote a book. He sold a book.
He wins games. I would expect more of a person that does that.
I wouldn't. Okay. Because they wrote a book?
Well, I would think he would practice what he preaches.
Oh, no one does that.
I don't know. I expect so little of football coaches. Not that I expect a lot out of a university president.
Winning
but
is
I
all
would,
that matters, but that's why I don't buy into all the other bullshit about it. Read the foreword of his book. It's ludicrous in hindsight now.
Are you part of the cult? Are you in a trance right now?
What book are you talking? When did you write the book?
Urban Meyer's book? Like 2017?
Well, see, to me, that book's bullshit right out of the gate because of Florida.
Above the line.
He had the most. He had the most arrested team in the history of the NCAA.
And wasn't there an overlapping with Aaron Hernandez as well?
Oh,
that's way after Aaron Hernandez.
Yeah, it was 2015. Above the line: lessons of leadership in life from a championship season.
It sounds to me like Urban Meyer. Because honestly, if you were Urban Meyer and you'd had that Florida team, you couldn't, in your right mind, believe that bullshit. I would think he's probably got a publishing deal. Hey, make a little money, throw a book out there full of bullshit, and. Who would buy a book by Urban Meyer about leadership? I guess if you want to win games, I guess winning, who cares?
Every
who
cares OSU fan.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe. I know, it's kind of like buying books by politicians. They don't tell you anything. Hillary Clinton, look how much money she got for her book. I mean, isn't it? To me, it's weird. It's like, who in the world would read a book by Hillary Clinton or by Chelsea Clinton?
Ugh.
What? Does Don Trump Jr.? Does Donald Trump Jr. have a book out yet?
Yeah, oh yeah.
Yeah, he just did
that.
He
just did that tour.
Oh, that's right.
That's why he kept popping up in the news, because he kept going on shows like The View and then popping off.
Well, he got paid $50,000 by
Florida.
Florida?
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Oh, boy.
Gotta love Florida.
G-G-G.
Yeah, he's going to run. I really feel like he'll run for president.
I don't think he's likable. I don't think anybody likes him.
Oh,
I don't know.
I think the people that like his dad like him.
Yeah, that's all I think. It'll be like, he's just like his dad, and I want his dad back. No, I think he'll run. I don't necessarily think he'll get a nomination. I just think he is has the audacity to run.
Did you see him talking at Iowa?
No.
They had, you know, they had a big for the Iowa caucuses, and like a lot of the cabinet members came out. Matt Gaetz, the representative,
hello,
came out.
Hello, Iowa!
Jim Jordan was there campaigning for Trump in Iowa.
Jim Jordan.
But it was all run by Junior. I mean, he was the big guy on the stage doing all the speaking and stuff. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't be surprised if he ran at all.
I wish I wouldn't have missed that.
Should there be a rule that you can only have one family member be president?
Yes.
One family member, and it's over.
Wasn't that blown out by the fifth president, though?
Yeah. John Quincy Jr.? John Quincy Adams.
Yeah, JQA.
J-Ad.
And George Bush and George Bush. Other than that, was there...
No, George W. and...
I'm hitting that ass.
Father-son, is there? Yeah. George Bush the second didn't work out very well.
How were the Roosevelts related?
Cousins. Yeah.
Kissing?
Yeah, fuck the cousins too. Only one. If your name is the same as another president, you can't.
Well, Benjamin Harrison was the grandson of William Henry Harrison.
Oh, that's right.
Ugh. Man, what a loser!
It's not a bloop.
James Madison and Zachary Taylor—they were second cousins.
Oh, really?
They don't have the same last name.
Yeah, but everybody in America was second cousins then.
What about Andrew and LB Johnson?
Oh, Andrew Johnson.
Jackson and LB.
LB Johnson and Lyndon Baines. Okay. Sorry.
Franklin Delano Roosevelt is the fifth cousin of Teddy. Oh,
yeah, they were different. They were night and day.
Teddy Roosevelt was a badass.
He was a man.
Was a man.
He was like 180 from FDR physically. In his
in every way.
I was just listening to a podcast about him.
Oh, about FDR?
God,
it was
Mark.
The Mike Rowe podcast.
Would you give me your podcast list so I make sure not to listen to any of them?
It was Mike Rowe's podcast.
I like
which
Mike
is
Rowe.
Fucking great. And
it's
they're
very
only like
short, too.
20 minutes, yeah. He says it's the it's a podcast for
Paul
people.
Paul Harvey's family sued him yet for
it should because it's basically
the rest
what it is.
Of the story.
Podcast.
It's so good though.
I don't like podcasts that are too short though. I feel they're not very substantive.
Nah, listen
well,
to
that's I like appreciate
them.
That in theory, Trudy. This is one long show
at 2 hours and 25 minutes.
Yeah. Well, mm-hmm. Almost 3 hours the last 2 days, I think.
Yeah, what's up, Drew?
No, all three shows this week have been 3 hours.
Yeah. Let's see how we're doing. You want to hit the outro, Brandon?
I can do that.
I'll check Charles.
I can do that.
Chargeables.
Oh.
And where are we? Where is the show? Been doing okay this week.
Sweet.
Last week wasn't so great. I don't know why.
It's a holiday.
Weird. It's really weird.
Everybody else blames it on a holiday.
Getting ranked every 12 hours is so weird. I think getting ratings every month is a better idea.
Exhausting.
My doctor sent out an email that he has a podcast now. I don't know why I'd want to listen to my doctor's podcast. And the city of Berkeley has a podcast now.
Really?
I bet that's fascinating.
Why aren't you on it?
I don't know. It's about business. And then highlight the new businesses. Boring.
No business.
You will not believe what our rank is.
What?
It's
80?
No.
115.
It's better than that.
90.
101.
We're a number that I've never seen before.
101?
No, we're not 101.
106.
106.
Nope.
105.
Why don't you just tell us?
Remember when they used to play Hi-Lo on the radio, Trudy? How stupid that game is?
It's really...
Oh, too high! Basically, the radio station had a number between 1 and 100 and be like 51, and you get people guessing 90 and 10, and you slowly get close, and then you'd be, okay, we've narrowed it down, and who's the 10th caller? It's Trudy! Trudy, what number is it?
A million.
She'd be like,
88?
What? 88? So obviously the person isn't listening, is paying no fucking attention, just happens to be the 10th caller, and everybody's so pissed. We're number 100.
Yo, that's cool.
That's cool. Yeah,
898 million.
All right, we'll see you tomorrow.
2,000.
Ebel Elric, Clark Park, Saturday. Two games, 6
12
and
million.
8.
Game is a Clark.